Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is he all there? But mentally?
I think so. It's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Rogaine, check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine, check.
And Andy. And Andy?
Get the part so close? Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure. I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey, guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like, ooh, let the dogs out. Ooh, ooh. Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out?
Welcome back.
All right. Welcome back.
I'm not a big fan, but Taylor Mays just ran a 4.24.
Oh, really?
This guy weighs 230 pounds, and he's running 4.24s.
Well, then that's the first guy at the 4.3 officially. Anyway.
Well, no, it's not official.
No, it'll be a 4.3.
Yeah. Okay. Andy and Eric are back from Indianapolis, so today is Combine Talk.
Big time
Combine Talk. Paul's eating a calzone. Doc's in the booth. So we're all here. We're back as a group.
We're all eating, but only Paul gets labeled as eating. And you say I force them, Paul. We're all eating.
It's funny because
not Eric, because he gained 6 pounds at the combine and couldn't order lunch today.
Are you eating a calzone?
But you couldn't handle your meat at the restaurant.
Paul's
the
only one eating a calzone.
He's splitting an appetizer with Eric. He has like one little nibble and goes, I'm all done. It's like being on a date.
Really?
Afraid to eat.
Well, that's what Todd was talking about last week when he said, the dynamic between you two when you get back from Indy is quite disturbing.
Not this year.
No, not this year.
He sucked.
However.
Did you guys have a fallout?
No.
No.
No, no. No. However.
He mostly fought Bilo.
I did maintain my Lenten promise not to retaliate against Andy. Not once.
So were
still
there,
going strong.
Were there a lot of occasions that you wanted to?
Every minute, every second of every day, yes.
Really?
I mean, that's how it normally is anyway, though.
No, normally when you guys are alone, you're like unbelievable bosom buddies. You know?
If he had a bosom, maybe we'd be more buddies.
You put on 6 pounds. You don't have a bosom now.
Did you really put on 6 pounds?
I weighed myself this morning. I was 6 pounds heavier than when I left for the combine. It was
really?
Ridiculous.
You guys do a lot of eating or what?
Yes,
we always do. You'll see the expense report.
We always do.
Yeah. Did you go to St. Elmo's?
Yeah. And he finally liked it. First time ever, he said it was good.
Yeah, it was.
What'd you have?
Oh, the filet. But they finally cooked it properly. It was a good cut.
What'd you have?
The filet. That's all I get.
He didn't have the shrimp.
You don't get the prime rib?
No, no. The filet.
Do you have the shrimp?
No, Fred.
Why not?
He doesn't eat shrimp.
I don't eat seafood.
Although Fred. Our waiter, Tool, which was his real name,
T-H-U-L-E,
offered to just bring him a bowl of the sauce if he wanted to experience the heat.
And? You didn't want to do that?
Of course, he wussed out. Jeez.
Anyway, okay, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And... So guys, people have been reading your blogs and commenting on your blogs.
Good comment. A lot of good comments from people.
Yeah. And
a couple of newcomers, too, who are a little loopy.
Who? Some Vikings fan.
Oh, it was one Vikings guy who left like 600 straight comments to every blog entry about he wants Moss back, Favre's ready for Moss. Ridiculous. The guy's out of his mind. Maybe, well, literally.
Maybe after next year, Moss can't go to the Vikings. Who knows?
Now, where did the rumors of the Patriots are trading Moss to the Cowboys, where did those start?
ESPN.
ESPN Insider, Dallas or ESPN Boston?
No, ESPN regular. Oh. ESPN.com. Another insider thing they have with a little tip.
But where did it come? Like, just throwing poop against the wall?
Throwing it out there, exactly.
I mean, that's just stupid.
What would the Patriots want from Dallas? Just draft picks? Or
maybe Tashard Choice.
Then I saw that post. Tashard Choice. Why would the Cowboys give a third-year running back who has done nothing but show promise for his first 2 years for a 34-year-old wide receiver?
Because they want to win it this year?
Hmm. They might have a better chance of winning it with the running back.
You think so?
Yes.
Even the way you evaluate running backs, Paul?
Small windows, Fred.
Yeah.
He's in the small window. He's young. He hasn't been beaten up yet. Marion Barber, however, he's quickly getting outside that window.
Okay.
No, the Cowboys I don't think would be interested. Now, you might be right. Jerry Jones is so star crazy and, win now philosophy, that's all he's about. Maybe they would be able to swindle him, but that's not a fair trade. A talented young running back for a extremely talented old wide receiver is not a fair trade.
So you think the Patriots would be getting the better of that one?
Oh, yeah.
Would Moss have a better year? Here in New England this year or somewhere else?
I still think here in New England.
It's a good question.
He's got Tom Brady throwing to him.
But that's it. But and he's the only one that's going to be catching until we hear otherwise.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure the quarterback is overly relevant when Moss is motivated. They're throwing bombs. He's going up and getting them through three Jets or three Dolphins and making plays. I think Tony Romo can do that. I think Joe Flacco could do that.
I was going to say, you put him on
Dallas and you have Jason Witten underneath.
Right.
And you have Miles Austin and, who knows, maybe Roy Williams, with them as complimentary guys.
Right.
It's hard to imagine him not having
a huge year. The question
is
basically Moss with chip on shoulder or Moss with no chip on shoulder is the question. And I think it's a legitimate one.
Look, if the way it's constituted right now, I'd say Moss has a better chance of being more productive in Dallas.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
He could get shut the F down here in New England depending on how the weapons around him come together. So. I mean, if he's the only option, if it's him and Edelman and Chris Baker, good night, Moss.
I'm assuming that that's not going to be the way they start the season.
I am too.
But right now, you'd have to say that Dallas is a better
place. About David Patton. I know you guys were gone for a while. Perhaps you didn't know.
I'll say it on the air what I said off the air. If David Patton makes the roster, this team will not be a 500 football team. They will not win 8 games. Bottom line.
Okay.
I'm with Paul. I think there's very little chance he makes the roster. Even Nick Caserio, when talking about him at the Combine, started saying stuff and then said, not that we're trying to live in the past here, because, obviously he was productive here a long, long time ago.
Right.
He was out of football.
Right. And not for injury.
No. Well, kind of. Maybe. I was injured. Yeah. Depends who you ask.
There is a little of that, supposedly that's why he got cut. But if I read correctly in Nick's comments, he indicated that they had Patton here last year for a workout in December when they were starving for a guy who could run a route.
And who knew the system.
And they didn't sign him. To me, that was telling. That was telling.
Yeah, they need to look to the future, not the past, for their wide receiver help.
Just closing the door on the past, Eric, is. The dynasty's dead. Well, nothing from the past
the guy's
can
35
help us.
Years old, going to be 36 in training camp.
Fred, you see your boy Toby Gerhardt, who he compared himself to?
I heard he compared himself to, I was reading that the other day, and I forget now.
Corey Dillon.
Corey Dillon.
And Eddie George.
Yeah.
Because there was a question about being a white running back. And
right.
He said he was joking with John Lynch about it, because Lynch got the same thing with safeties. But he said he would compare himself to Eddie George and Corey Dillon.
I actually like both of those comparisons.
See, I compare him to a white running back, but not because he's white. I think he's the next Heath Evans.
Yeah. What did he run?
I think he's an undersized guy who was a skill guy in college who's going to be a skillful fullback at the next level.
Well, he's not undersized.
Body. Did I say undersized? No,
he's not undersized.
I didn't mean that.
He's oversized.
Right.
Yeah.
He's a fullback.
But what did he run?
Tailback in a fullback's body.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Which is what Heath Evans kind of was. Athletic, can give you those games like against Miami where he'll give you 100
yards.
Yeah,
but Evans wasn't that fast. Gerhardt's faster than Evans.
In college he was.
I think he was. Evans was a third-round pick as an underclassman. He's a junior who came out early and was a third-round pick.
That's the other thing I forgot about Heath Evans. I didn't remember that he was an underclassman when he was drafted. You don't think of him as being that kind of guy. I don't know.
I don't know. You know, I didn't watch Evans in college, but watching Evans in the pro and watching Gerhardt in college, I'd say flat out Gerhardt is faster.
I guess I just don't see it. I mean, when I've seen
he probably is, but Heath Evans was very athletic.
Yeah. What did he run?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking you guys. You were there.
Yeah, but we're not allowed to go in and watch.
Those numbers get out there.
Yes, come on. No, but we hear some of them, and there's a lot of numbers. There's 300 guys there.
Well, Gerhardt's a guy that's on our radar.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. We missed his press conference, too. I don't know when he did it.
Why is he on our radar?
He's on Fred's radar.
Because Fred is in love with him. Well, you know, this team had Keith Evans.
Well, that's true.
They like that role.
They are looking for a young running back, potentially an every-down back. So,
potentially good value, second, third round.
Look, honestly, I know as much as you guys want to put him down, you would not count Toby Gerhardt out if you were – in the Patriots scouting department.
I think he's got a better chance of being a good pro than Tim Tebow does.
No, but I mean on your team. Mm-hmm. He's on your radar, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, if he's available in the second round.
He's a top prospect at that position.
Number 53,
sure. You
might take him.
Right.
You know?
Let's just not put him in the stratosphere of C.J. Spiller.
Who is?
I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You loved him. I'm just making sure.
I do love him. Okay. You know? I think he's the kind of guy that we want. Do a lot of things.
So that you can say his name the way you like to say his name?
Gerhardt.
All right.
What else, guys? So
I'm overwhelmed, so you ask questions, because I can think of a million things I could talk about.
Top observation?
My top observation is safer top of the draft than I've seen in my time. I think most of the elite candidates, the Sues, McCoys, Bradfords, Berries, Spillers, are going to be good pros. I don't know that they'll be great. You might say play-wise, they may end up like a Willie McGinnis that you say he wasn't a game changer, but I don't think you're going to see a lot of turds that high in the draft. I think most of the guys up there are legit workers, men, professionals.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more talent in this draft. I agree with what Andy said. A lot more talent in this draft than in the 07 draft, which is not difficult to do, but I think in recent memory of drafts, I think this is going to be one of the more quality drafts.
So you're with Casserly about this could be one of the best drafts in a long, long time. Because a lot of the juniors came out. Why do you think so many juniors came out? Because of the possible rookie cap that might be implemented?
Well, some of them were asked about that. And most of them said no, that didn't have anything to do with it. But
it's only going to affect the top 10 picks.
But it was also
anyway.
That's kind of a misperception. They tied a record from 2 years ago, 53 juniors.
53 underclassmen.
It's not some ridiculous number. It's the same as it was a couple of years ago. They're just better.
I think they're just great.
Okay.
I do think there's an element of these. They want to jump out before that cap gets in place. And there's a couple of things there. First of all, most of these guys don't jump out early, not anticipating being one of those guys. Whether they are or not, they all think they are.
Mm-hmm.
They think they're top 15 worthy.
Some will go undrafted.
And there will be a trickle-down effect, too. I mean, a third-round pick is probably not going to make as much when this cap gets instituted as they will now.
But there's also just as much value in this draft because people stayed in school. Because Taylor Mays stayed in school. He's in this draft when he should have been in last year. Sam Bradford should have been in last year's. He's in this draft. C.J. Spiller is in this draft.
Even if you want to go beyond that.
That's three guys right there that are going to be top 12 picks.
All of those quarterbacks, if you want to really go at it. I mean, not Clawson, but Tebow and McCoy as well, were two of the most successful college quarterbacks ever.
So they
stayed unheard
in school.
That's unheard of for three great college quarterbacks who have stayed their entire eligibility. And they all did.
Yeah. Well, if I was the players' union, what I would say about that whole rookie salary cap, I'd say, okay, we'll give you that, but free agency's 3 years now.
Well, that's kind of sounds like what they're talking about. It's like the NBA did.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make a decision earlier, but they get less. They get that bigger contract sooner the second time,
right.
But not up front.
And then most of your rookies you're going to try to sign to four-year deals anyway, right? So it's going to be that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, you're right. You're probably right, Fred.
Yeah. What else?
One of the other big topics.
And by the way, not surprising that they didn't come out and say, oh, I left early because they're going to put a rookie wage kit scale in next year.
Right.
I mean, some agent would actually shoot his client on the podium for admitting it was about the money.
One of the big topics for all the New England media was, you know, New England tied stuff. One of those was Bill not having coordinators, asking all the McDaniels, Pioli, Schwartzy, and they're all on board with it. They're all, you know, if that's what he thinks is right, you know, titles don't matter.
If he if he decide to have four coordinators, they'd say, well, that's what he thinks
exactly,
is right.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, you know, some of them said it in a good way. I thought McDaniels said it that, you know, I thought he kind of was telling without trying to be telling in that he said, I always felt I was given responsibility that I earned. I was given things that I earned, and if I didn't get it, and then I didn't earn it, so I kept working. Which to me says Bill O'Brien didn't earn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Using or Josh's little formula.
Patricia
didn't earn it. They're not ready for
Pepper
it.
Johnson.
So just go to work, do your job. But he said he doesn't think it affects the players. As long as you stand up there and say the right stuff and are prepared, they don't care who you are.
Right.
As long as you're giving them information that's going to allow them to go out and succeed as players.
Yep.
Is basically what he said. And then Lombardi, obviously worked with Bill in Cleveland, said Bill could coach any position on the field. If one day the running backs coach just didn't show up to work, Bill would go coach the running backs. And if the next day it was the wide receivers coach, he'd go coach the wide receivers. The next day he could do it all. So they're all not worried that he's spread too
thin. Well, I don't think that the question is, can he do it, you know, any of those given roles? But the question is, at what point do you start sacrificing the total package because he's spread too thin?
They all think he's man enough to know when that is and not make the decision that it hurt his team.
And that's basically
that's
the answer.
I agree with you.
But it's not his capability. Of course he can do anything he wants when it comes to football, but it's at what price?
Right. But they think, I believe, Schwartz? Pioli? One of them said he manages a staff. That's one of his great strengths, in managing his staff, knowing it better than anyone.
I think he's got a good system in place, and that's one of the reasons why he feels...
Really? No, you're on board?
And I think that's one of the reasons why he feels comfortable not assigning someone a coordinator title, because it's the system. And everyone's got their job, and if you do your job, titles don't mean that much.
Right.
Pioli, you mentioned his name. I liked what he said at the draft about the guys deciding not to work out or to work out. If you're good, go out and compete. You know, these scouts have been around long enough, and these coaches, to know if you're a tick off what you think your 40 should be. They know that on your pro day you're going to make it up.
One of the top players, I forgot if it was Sue or McCoy, said the same kind of thing. They were like, yeah, I plan on doing everything at the combine. I've got nothing to hide.
They both kind of said
the same thing. And I respect them for that, because it's rare that you get a top player like that. They all want to do their individual pro day and this and that. I mean, just work out.
Do that as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Do that as well. But you know what? The scouts, like you said, have enough tape on you to know what you've done on the field.
Right.
This whole thing is just kind of a formality to me. You're confirming suspicions or you're dispelling them.
Right.
Really. That's really all that the combine comes down to.
Most of them put it at 90%. The process is 90% done.
Yeah.
We're in the final 10% here. So it shouldn't change
dramatically. It's odd to me that there's as much attention paid to the whole thing. Why the players don't want to work out. Every talent evaluator says the same thing that you just said, Andy. It's 90% done. You know,
And they also understand it's not your receiver. It's a different route. You might, whatever. But
and unless, like,
they're looking for release, arm strength. They're just looking to confirm everything they've seen.
You know, unless you're a guy coming off shoulder surgery.
Right,
you know,
and they all
a week
that.
Or two later, and you can't bench. Yeah. Obviously,
he already said that. If you can't throw, if it's a physical thing, that's different.
But if not,
Dan Lefebvre
just
didn't throw, and everybody's ripping him for it. I mean, from Mike Mayock's tone, everybody just he lost respect in my mind of a lot of talent evaluators this week.
Well, especially a guy like him, I think has to do it. It's important.
Every opportunity.
I think
to
it's
show
idiotic that he didn't, because
well, especially
with the top
when,
guys not throwing, you could slide your ass up a couple notches and beat someone out that maybe you don't deserve to beat out.
You're
but
gonna look
just
the
circumstances.
Yeah,
you didn't do it. To me, you wussed out. Mm-hmm. I'm off Dan Lefebvre and Tony Pike because he's built like a toothpick.
I mean, look at the kid from Baltimore,
Flacco.
You know,
Flacco.
He that helped him in
the whole pre-draft process. That whole 6, 8, 10, 12-week period did more for Joe Flacco than his college career did.
Yeah.
And so, I was intrigued by LaFever coming in. I thought he was a guy with the athleticism, the production.
Oh, he's,
and I
had,
thought he was intriguing.
And he had a good interview.
Good. And, yeah. Just, he's not a competitor, apparently.
Yeah, I know.
How do you
that
not
surprised
do it?
Me.
Best interview. Eric and Andy. Who had the best
oh,
interview?
Oh, Myron Rolle.
I would
Rolle.
Say Andy.
Myron
oh,
Rolle.
Oh, you meant. Yeah. Yeah. By far. I mean,
I think Gerald McCoy is in the conversation.
Rolle, here's my top three. Rolle, Sue slash McCoy tied for second. Third.
McCoy was better than Sue.
Wow.
McCoy was phenomenal.
I love how he just dismisses you.
Right. Yeah. He has the.
Love how
the
he
final
dismisses
say.
You.
He definitively said Rolle was better. Just because he's smarter doesn't mean he's better. Just because he's
well,
your idol
he
and is everything you never were.
He was given
you've
his
ever
opinion.
Seen at a combine.
He's everything right? Eric
Myron
always
Rolle.
Wanted to
sure.
be. He's smart,
yeah,
athletic, talented, football.
And he said that to me right
football.
After he said that, too, trying to get me to retaliate.
There's
but I wouldn't do it.
There is an element of truth to that. But, you know, in fairness to you, who among us wouldn't want to be that?
Yeah, I unfortunately...
I would have loved to have been
I'm calling
Myron
BS
Rolle.
On his plan personally, too. He says he's going to
play
12
years
in the league, and then he's going to go to med school for 12 years, and then go to East Cutty Bum and like,
oh,
help
what?
Kids.
What's that now?
Once he finishes, if he finishes a 12-year career, he could do more good quicker by just starting a foundation,
and he might realize
hiring
that.
Doctors and putting doctors in that position and using his money, yeah. his fame, his influence.
He might realize that.
Rather than well, toiling as a 12 years in neurosurgery.
You guys were certainly
school.
There and would know a lot more, but I read the comments that he made, and I took him as him more trying to convince the league's decision-makers. I'm serious about wanting to play in the NFL.
That's, oh, yeah.
Don't
no.
overlook
that was his,
I'm not going to become a doctor in 6 months.
No.
I want to play.
Right. His yep. first five. I'm saying yep. I don't. I think it's stupid, the plan. I don't think it would work.
What I'm saying, I think you're holding him to like this timetable. I think
he's, word, I tend to try to hold people to
no,
the word,
but
Paul.
Well, I also
Fred Kirsch once told me you only have two things in this world, your name and your word.
He's unbelievable. He's just unbelievable.
You know, when we get back from this break, someone will be able to respond to that.
Right.
But my point being that I think he was just trying to say, I am planning on playing a full NFL career. Whenever that ends,
yes.
I plan on trying to become a doctor.
He was utterly impressive.
Whether that's 12 years from now, that seems like a lot to me, too. I mean, how many guys play 12 years?
No, but he's
not
saying,
any.
I'll be a doctor 24 years from today.
Right.
I will go, I'll achieve my dream and be in Africa helping kids.
But that could just as easily be 10 years from today. You could play five and go to med school for five, whatever.
Well, he claims it's going to take 12 of med school.
I don't know.
Andy was really
he's
really focusing
on
that
number
on those
of years.
Numbers. I mean, yeah.
Right. And I'm saying, if he plays 12 years in the league, he's going to have the money and influence at his disposal to do immediate good in Africa.
Well, you can do both.
He'd be wasting 12 years. He'd be delaying the gratification for all those kids that would die.
Why can't he be giving
the
money while he's
in
school?
Imagine the guy wants to become a doctor and he's taking it away.
Why can't he start a foundation while he's in school?
Because he could be doing good immediately, spending his time raising money, using his fame and fortune.
Why can't he do that while he's in school?
Because you can't go to neurological school.
You really think that
I don't think you can half-ass your way through neurological school, whatever the hell it's called.
Neurological school.
Do you really think that these players that start foundations run them themselves? They have help.
No, my point is, you still need your face. You need to be the one.
You can do it. He can do it.
You really?
Yes.
When did you go to brain surgery school?
I'm very impressed with
what?
Myron Rolle.
You can half-ass your way through brain surgery school.
Hey, let me ask you this, guys. We talked about some of the impressive interviews. Who, and I don't want to put too much into just they came across poorly and now they can't play. Because, you know.
There are a lot of guys who can't, as we talked about.
Right. No one even worked out, basically. So I'm not talking about playing, but who just thoroughly unimpressed you guys?
Sergio Kindle.
Besides him. You guys wrote extensively about him on the blog.
I was really surprised by Kindle. You were
Kindle.
A little bored with Tebow.
Oh, that's Andy. Andy
no,
can't
nauseated.
Stand him. Andy despises Tim Tebow.
That is not true. I despise his shit.
You're just nauseated
by it. It's a little bit true.
Did you read the quotes?
First they'll see me working, then they'll believe me, then they'll start to like me, and then the like will turn into love. And then once you have love, the team has bought in, and then you can win a championship.
And you're all blessed.
You have to buy in. What?
And then they're all.
Yeah.
They're all blessed.
And then he's going to put a smile on a kid that most people don't care about. Who the hell are you to tell me who I don't care about?
What's he talking about?
You know what?
What kid?
Andy.
He's talking about just doing stuff
as,
off the
as
field.
Is the case
Get
with
your
everything.
High-ass horse.
As is the case with everything Andy-related. There's elements of truth to what he's saying. He just exaggerates it to ridiculous proportions. But I think he's right about Tebow. I mean, it's like it gets back to that Tim Brando comment while we were watching one of the games on the road on CBS. You know, we had a chance to speak to Tim Tebow last night and
paraphrasing here. You know, I'm a better man for it, and anybody who comes into contact with Tim Tebow is a better man for it. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
He's a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way I have to feel about Tim Tebow. He's going to change my life.
Right.
And I think that's what Tim Tebow thinks.
Yeah.
I think he, you know, I'm going to put a smile on some kid's face that you might not think about. Really?
Because most people hate kids. They don't want to see him smile.
Such an idiot.
Des Bryant was another one who was just, he was awful. Awful.
But
interview.
You have to, and this is, I talked to Andy about this a little bit, and we fall into this, the three of us, because I take what you guys tell me from the combine and what I read, and we all kind of generate our thoughts. I think you have to be careful with bad, you know, public persona. Didn't come across well, inarticulate, was kind of sketchy with some of the details of his explanations on certain things that he had with can't play.
Right. We're not saying,
I think we have
we're
to,
not saying that.
Know, I don't want to close it like a Des Bryant.
Right.
I don't want to close the door on because he didn't come across well in an interview. With the media.
They aren't mutually exclusive, but they aren't tied to one another necessarily either. I mean, sometimes a guy has a bad interview performance, but he also can't play. Other times he's a horrible
Des
interview,
Bryant
but
can
he
play.
But he can play. Right. But
the point is, as an elite prospect, little things sway you in and out of a guy.
Well, I might not be willing to take him in the top eight. You know, because of something like that.
I wouldn't take him in the first round.
Well, like, here's the thing.
I'd take him in the last 10.
Here's the thing. NFL offense, like the Patriots run, a lot of it relies on knowing the playbook, reading, reacting, being on the same page with your quarterback. It's a lot of mental pressure to know this offense.
But that's my point. I don't think you find that out by listening to a guy in an interview.
Well,
the guy I always use for the example of that is Lawyer Malloy. Because I think if you talk to Lawyer Malloy at the bar, You would leave
really
thinking you just
up.
Had a conversation with one of the dumbest people that you've ever met in your life. Nothing could be further from the truth. Lawyer was a very bright guy.
Football smart.
And
football
wise, he was off the charts smart. But he didn't really present himself well all the time. He didn't speak very articulately. But he was no dummy.
It's like Fred. You hear him talk and you think,
hey, lawyer.
And then that's very poor.
That's just poor.
Let's see. Todd says that. Gerhardt ran a 4.53, which isn't bad.
That's
good enough.
Yeah.
That's good enough, don't you think?
It's what Everson Griffin wanted to run.
And
wanted to.
Todd
didn't.
Says that Myron Roll just ran a 4.69.
I would draft him.
Myron Roll?
I just put him on my team.
Oh, absolutely. And
he will not hurt me.
That's also good enough for him.
Sure.
4.69 is not terrible.
Right. He's like a fifth-round pick or a fourth. I mean,
oh, yeah.
To me, he is the poster child for just take him.
Intangibles coming out of his pocket.
I don't know what I'm going to do with you. Yeah, but he has the real intangibles. I wasn't nauseated by him. It wasn't Tim Tebow intangibles. He doesn't think he's going to come in and be God's gift to safety. He's going to come in and play the game of football.
He swayed me when he went to his Rhodes Scholar thing, his interview in Alabama, hopped on a plane, and got there for the second half of that game in Maryland. That, to me, said all I needed to know about that guy.
That guy.
I'll take him on my team.
All right. Web
Joe
Radio
Morgan
on Patriots.
He's part of my nine.
Email address 508-543-7482. Got a lot of emails. And got someone on the phone right now. Yes, Stephen, New Hampshire. Stephen, New Hampshire. Hey, how you doing?
How you doing, guys?
What's up?
All right.
I just kind of like over the weekend. I mean, I taped the games during the year, so I actually watched the Tennessee game. You know, that snow game where we annihilated them over the weekend. And I just kind of look at the depth chart that's online and was thinking about it. And right as soon as the show started, I said, "All right, what do you guys think?" And I'm thinking of it this way: before you get into really thinking about draft choices, whatever, but to go through the depth chart. And just say, you know, yeah, they'll be here. This guy's going to get replaced. This guy won't be here. You know, I don't know if you guys can do it, like, just scroll right through it and yay, nay, and whatever. Or
Not after 5 days of combine coverage, no. Probably not.
All right, Eric, I get what you're saying with that. But even part of it, I mean, I look at, you know, like now all this talk about Moss, you know, et cetera. I'm like, I see him staying. I don't know why. It's just my gut feeling. Even though he's done what he's done, and I understand it from like a business point of view for himself that he can put himself out there saying, hey, maybe the Patriots aren't going to pay, but I would love to keep playing.
Do you mean in 2010 or 2011?
And well, actually, both, I would say.
Yeah, I don't see any chance that he's here beyond this year.
You don't think so?
No, not, really? That's just my opinion.
But no, and I understand.
I think Moss was speaking his opinion. Right. I don't think he thinks there's any chance that he'll be here in 2011 either.
Yeah, and I understand him saying that, but basically what I'm guessing at, what I'm asking you guys, is kind of if you could, you know, just, I mean, really, because you got a lot of guys, I mean, if you look at, you know, our draft picks of last year, and some of them did pretty well, and is it, you know, and even the year before, they go through the sophomore slump, you look at somebody like Mayo. I think Mayo is going to be dynamic and outstanding for years to come, but, you know, his first year out of the gate, brilliant. Second year, do you call it a sophomore slump, or if all of a sudden is this the real deal of what he's going to be? I don't think so. I think he's really going to be a great player for years to come. But I was kind of curious, all four of you guys, your opinions on each of these guys that are active on the roster right now, and almost do it kind of as a game that you guys do with, you know, and I think everybody would love to hear every, you know, guy on the, and I know it's like hard to say every guy, don't go to 80, go to like the active last 53. Who's going to be here, who's not going to be? You know, I'm curious. I'm just.
All right, we'll do it. Not today.
You got a roster, Fred?
Yeah, not today.
No, not today.
We usually do that
right
now.
No, it doesn't have to be today.
No, we'll do it in a couple weeks. One of the shows in a couple weeks. After we're
through
the combine.
I was ready
to. Because I look at it and I'm curious.
Yeah, Eric's curious too.
So. And other than that, I love you guys.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Have a
thanks,
great
Steve.
Show.
All right. All right. Preston from Brockton says that Taylor Mays ran a 4.24.
Well, it's been adjusted to 4.34, I believe they adjusted.
Oh, really?
I didn't see it.
But
yeah,
NFL Network
likes to keep the unofficial up as long as possible because it's the ooh-ah number.
Right.
Like with
they've been about
Ford and Spiller ran 4.28s, both of them from Clemson, like boom, boom. And then later you come out, it's 4.3 this.
They've been about a tenth of a second off.
Yeah,
pretty
much.
And he was the Mays was the one that had the neon yellow shoes on, too, right?
A lot of them do. But, yeah, he did. He, certainly looks like Tarzan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he
and
claims,
spoke like Jane.
Yeah, very soft
very
spoken.
Soft spoken. little Troy Polamalu?
Very soft spoken. Not nearly as impressive. Thoroughly underimpressed with Taylor Mays.
But I'm talking about that soft spoken.
Didn't have answers.
Even softer.
Really? Yeah.
Wow.
He
must be invisible.
Claims the going for the big hits all the time was just all about coaching. That's what they wanted him to do. He'll have no problem pulling off from that at the next level. And I'm not sure I buy that.
Another ringing endorsement for Pete.
Yeah.
We want you going for the big hit every time.
How about strippers boy, Dominique Franks at Oklahoma? I got by on talent. I didn't really have any technique. I need to learn technique at the next level.
I read that and I was like, wow.
Getting it done at Oklahoma. Good job, guys. No wonder you underachieve with a ton of talent. You know, the injuries might have hurt a little. But.
Well, most of these NFL coaches believe anyway that they have to break you down and build you back up anyway. So.
Right. I'm not sure they believe that with Eric Berry.
We've certainly seen enough comments from Bill over the years about the college game to know that he doesn't really have a tremendous amount of respect for the schemes themselves and, I think, the coaching talent that's available to the players.
Speaking of coaches, I had 450 of them here over the weekend.
Good job.
The coaches club.
How'd that go?
It was great.
Did not have
great.
Nick Saban.
I had one vendor that told me I'll pay you right now for next year.
Really?
Yep.
Sweet.
Well, those people are kind of gullible. Didn't they fall for a bridal show in Boston that didn't exist?
That was tough. Did you hear about that story?
No.
They had a huge bridal show that they were advertising for the Heinz Convention Center, and it was an elaborate, it was on Facebook, Twitter, all these different event planning sites, and all over the internet. They had an extensive website. Not only they got people to line up and pay money to attend this thing, but they had vendors spending thousands
to buy space
at it.
And it was
a fraud.
Yeah, they said it was one of the best fake websites they've ever seen.
Wow.
But it didn't come to the surface until people, I guess it was coming up, and the vendors were calling Heinz, where's the loading dock? When can I come in? And they're like, there's no show. What are you talking about?
Wow.
People
but,
get taken.
But don't you think that before that someone... Heinz would have said, wait a minute. What's
yeah,
sad?
How did the people at Heinz not hear about it if there was such buzz for this thing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe put out their own preemptive, wait a minute, this isn't happening at our venue.
You know, the checks were all made out to an offshore bank.
It was all through PayPal.
You know, all through PayPal?
Yeah, they're trying to get with PayPal to try to get people's money back, but they don't think it's a good chance.
So they haven't really been able to catch the people who were behind it?
Wow.
Probably goes through, like, Bulgaria or something. I'm sure it's well-routed and...
Could be Patriots Food and Beverage Department.
Oh, my God.
Web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Cormac says, Eric and Andy, thanks for all your combine coverage. While I don't find the combine as enthralling as some, watching men in their underwear does nothing for me.
Eric loves it. All over Parrish Cox.
See, now...
I can't do anything, Fred. I can't do or say anything.
I think at this point it's a little gratuitous.
No. A little?
Yeah.
At this point.
Says the guy who's been the most gratuitous of any of us.
You know.
A little at this point. Both of those are the understatements.
You should have heard
me
when literally...
You're reaching.
When Parrish Cox was at the podium, I must have had five of them right in a row.
Our show should make
it was funny. Come on. Well, at that point, it was funny. Now it's gratuitous.
The way they do it at the combine, you never know if one guy's going to be available at one time or four.
700.
Sometimes they announce like a bunch of players at once. And so... Both of us had players that were available at the same time, and one of them was Parrish Cox. And we're walking up together, and Andy goes, I'm going to take the other guy, right? Because you want Cox, don't you?
You like Cox. You'll be with Cox.
Cox is pretty big in Rhode Island, right?
Anyway, Cormac goes
on. I can just totally see his big, giant head bobbing up and down because he's laughing about it.
Talking Cox. He's talking my head bobbing. I want to steer clear.
Anyway, Cormac says, so I have a question.
I have a question?
And
who's
really,
she?
That's the proper way to say it. Absolutely. It's contraction for I have.
I have a question, yes.
I have a question, and it's on something that's been bugging me for years. It was prompted by Thomas Jones being cut. Now, if you are to stand back and look at this, it really seems like a dumb move. Here's a guy who's been really productive for his team, top five running back in the NFL over the past few years with no obvious sign of decline, and the Jets go and cut him. Okay, so they say the Jets' O-line is great and anyone can run behind it. But then what kind of chance does that ever give a running back if his line is always going to be credited? Now, I know he was released as they think Sean Green can step up, but surely there was value to be had by trading him. Surely he was worth a third-round pick to a team at least. Why just dump him and gain nothing except some cap space, though since there's no cap next year? Hello? Am I missing something? I had this feeling during last season's off season with the Pats, and when I saw it again with Thomas Jones, it just seems to be boneheaded management. Surely, when a player has value and you dump him and don't get anything in return, then there's a missed opportunity. Isn't it as simple as that? Well, it could be the fact that they might have owed him some money that they didn't want to pay.
That's exactly what it was.
Okay.
He had a $3.6 million bonus that was something due like that. March 5th. So there's no way they could have traded him before giving that to him. So now that's just flushing money down the toilet.
Right. It's a money thing.
So there's your answer.
Yep. And surely he would have been worth a draft pick for someone.
But I also
don't think they needed him anymore, because not only they have Sean Green, but they have Leon Washington coming back too.
But then the second part of Cormac's question is, with it being an uncapped year, so what if it's 3.6?
But it's still money. It's
still real
money.
Yeah. Unless you can do one of your backroom deals where you can somehow get an agreement that the other team is going to reimburse you the $3.6 million once the trade comes. Right. But I don't think you can do that. I don't think it'd be legal, and you'd be trusting another team.
I think Thomas Jones is a good player. I don't think he's a difference maker. I think the young guy they have might be better than him.
Might be.
Now, he might not be right now, but I think he will be.
I think Thomas Jones is a good back. I don't think he's great.
He's good. That's what I said.
He's a committee guy.
He'd be the best on this committee right now.
He's been better than a committee. I mean, he rushed for 1,400 yards last year.
But I think at his age.
It was 11, 13, and 14, the 3 years in New York.
But I think at his age, teams would be looking for him to be a committee guy, not to be...
Yeah, the only thing about his age, he's, and I know that we kind of talk about this a lot with different guys, but his first 4 years, he never had more than like 150 carries or something like that. There's a number of carries that he never went over that threshold. First 4 years in the league, so he's not necessarily having as much wear and tear on his tires as
LT.
A normal 32-year-old back would, or whatever he is, 30-something in their old back.
Would you take him and get rid of Sammy Morris?
Sure.
Yeah.
Would you take him and get rid of Fred Taylor?
Sure.
Paul says yes.
I probably would, yeah. I mean, there's
more
some
durable.
Money involved there.
Maybe.
So.
And would you take more him durable. Get rid of Lawrence Maroney?
Sure.
Paul says without a doubt.
Andy, what would I do with Lawrence Maroney?
Limp him to the airport?
Drive him to the airport.
Limp him to the airport.
I am. I should point
See,
out.
See, there's Joe Green.
Paul,
I'm on the DL, Freddie.
Paul has twisted his ankle playing old man's basketball.
I got kicked in the Achilles, I believe.
and it swelled up like that? Yeah. Wow.
It's all black and blue, too.
Oh.
You've had a bad year or last few months with foot injuries. Kicking toys around the house. You broke
your
toe.
Every once in a while, that toe still kind of bothers me.
Does it really?
Yeah. But I was off to a scorching start, too, Freddie. Remember, I talked about this last Thursday.
Yeah.
How I was feeling my oats from the previous week when I had 8 points. Yeah. I had 6 quickies the other night. And
hey,
had to come out of the
sounds
game.
Like a dream night.
So
Liz must have been pretty happy. Beth must have been pretty happy.
Like the two-handed set shot.
No,
you don't. Elizabeth, you don't shoot it like the two-handed set shot and the Bob Pettit hook.
No.
He calls your wife Liz. I corrected myself immediately.
He goes, Liz must have been pretty happy.
I go, who's Liz? Elizabeth.
I was thinking
he chooses what to call your wife. He has a pet name for your wife.
And it doesn't matter
what she calls it.
And I don't know if you know, but. My wife spells her name a little bit different. For Elizabeth, she spells it with an S. Which I'm sure,
weird, huh?
I'm sure that Eric thinks that, you know, she doesn't
know Elizabeth
how to spell it.
Perillo on Starboard Street is all spelled wrong.
Starboard Terrace.
Whatever it is. Spelled wrong.
Why are you giving out his address?
Whatever.
They don't know how to spell it. It'll never get there.
If they haven't figured out how to blow my house up yet, they ain't going to do it.
Brian from where's Baltimore. Hey, guys, in the airport bathroom dweller.
That's
that
you.
Be any of us.
Well, I actually went to the bathroom a couple times at the airport.
Really?
Because I, you know,
oh, God,
go to the bathroom a lot.
He actually delayed a flight.
Could be coming out of my ears before I would go in the bathroom in the airport.
Oh, no. I don't mind the airport. I get it done before I get on the plane, especially those little ones. Whew. You know how easy it would be to stink up the entire plane?
There'd be a loss of cabin pressure.
Fred,
all the masks would come falling from the ceiling.
A few weeks ago, Andy mentioned James Starks, a running back from the University of Buffalo, as a possibility.
Huge hands. The dude he's caught a lot of balls in college, and I see his fingers are like, they're massive.
Yeah.
He has huge hands.
Long or big?
I feel like I'm being set up like him.
Well, Terry Glenn had very, very long fingers, but
yeah,
they were
long
slender.
Fingers. These are long fingers so he could just engulf the ball.
Right. I'm a Buffalo alumni and followed him a lot during his time at Buffalo, so I would love to see this kid in a Patriots
Me
uniform.
Too.
For what I saw, he ran a 4.48, which ain't too bad for a 6'2", 220 pounder. Did Andy or Eric get a chance to talk to him?
Yes.
If so, what's your take? I know he is coming off shoulder injury that kept him out in 09, but I saw some of his highlights at the Combine on NFL.com and thought he really looked strong. You think the Pats will want to take a flyer on him in the late rounds?
Well, I think he's rising. He's a guy that I kind of highlighted a ways back based on his history. 1,300 yards as a junior, catches a lot of passes, missed the season. I believe it was labrum. He had like a repaired labrum thing in August, missed the whole year. Now he's running, he's working out. It seems like his stock is rising up the charts because I initially thought, oh, this is a guy you could get as a steal in the fifth round, and he could be one of those stories where you say, all of a sudden, you have a 1,000-yard back that you got in the fifth round. Why was it? Oh, he missed his senior year, blah, blah, blah. I think his stock is rising now. I'm a little disappointed in that.
I like the way you started that story. Well, I sort of talked about him, and he's been rising like I got him on the chart.
I've learned that self-promotion in the draft business is where it's at.
Yeah.
Mike Mayock has made a career of knowing nothing. The guy gets at a podium, you ask him a question, he's got to check his notes.
But that's what people want to see. They don't want to, or hear. They don't want to hear, well, I think, or other people have said. They want to hear
right.
The guy get on and go, I watched this guy, and he's going to do X.
Well, Charlie Casserly at the Combine was the exact opposite.
Yeah.
He got up there and said,
I don't know
I really
anything.
Haven't watched anything, but I've talked to like 16 teams, and so all my opinions are based on that.
Yeah.
Somebody asked about Bradford.
I think that's refreshing.
And he said, well, I really only saw him play twice and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, I've seen him play more than twice, and I don't watch any college football, really. But he went the other route. I know everything I know is because 16 teams talked to me.
But
guessing the Patriots were in the other half of the league, not the ones that have talked to Charlie
Casserly. In the interest of petting ourselves on the back, Andy and I came to
petting
the conclusion.
Petting or patting?
Patting ourselves on the back.
I said petting.
We came to the conclusion.
He's relentless. Just relentless.
It's just an assault.
Yeah.
That if we were able to watch as much film as these so-called experts get to watch,
yeah,
there's no reason why we couldn't do as good or better job at analyzing the combine or the draft than any of these people out there.
Probably.
I'll take it a step further. I think I could draft as well as most people in the NFL. Maybe not the best, whoever you think the best is. I think I could be a mediocre NFL drafter because they all go 50-50.
Let's face it, it's football.
Right, that's
it's
what I mean.
Football. There are no geniuses
right.
in football.
Show me the tape.
Well,
wow, good job, Eric, catching that. He almost snuck it by us.
I think there's one.
Yeah. Me too.
You know, I'm all about Patriots.
Guys, get some quiet over here.
Look, even the great Bill Belichick's dad told him, "What's this? All this genius? You walk up and down the sideline." You know, that's what his father told him.
Yeah. Okay,
was he listening that day? I'm not sure that one resonated. We do have a funny story. I promised you. We were leaving St. Elmo's after another good meal, which was slightly costly to the organization. But
we should point out
it was a very good meal. Even Eric was happy, which is rare. And we're going out.
Why did you treat all the rest of the media to St. Elmo's?
It was medium well, not rare.
Right. I see what you did there. Not funny at all. Can we get a... Thank you. So who do we
pass? It's not funnier when you have to tell him to do it.
Going out the door, but Scott Pioli is coming in. And he sees me, and he says, hello, whatever. And then he sees that it's the line of us, B-Low and Eric. Oh, you're spending Robert's money again, I see, huh?
Yeah.
And he definitely implied that it was a waste of money. So a little while later, I turned to Eric. I go, I was this close to firing him back with, you want to see a waste of money? Look at the 07 draft class. But I held my tongue.
That would have been good.
He was actually really nice to us all week.
Helped, said hello to us.
You know, not just us. Yeah. He talked to, I'm pretty sure, I think there were probably 300 media members there, and I'm pretty sure he had a one-on-one
with
all of them.
Every one of them.
He spoke as long as you could possibly speak.
Well,
but
he always wanted. He's in charge. It's his show.
Sure. Yeah. He also made me laugh at, I asked him about the coordinators, because he had talked a lot about their staff, bringing in Charlie and Romeo. They feel like they have a great chemistry, and they can argue and disagreements. He joked that Charlie disagrees with everybody on everything, but that helps and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So I said, talking about chemistry, how do you think chemistry on a staff works out if there are no coordinators? And he starts answering, and then he goes, I know where you're going here with the Patriots. Obviously, you know where I work. You know, the Patriots, I wasn't trying to hide anything.
Right.
But, and then he accused B-Low of touching him.
What?
Yes, he did. He stopped the interview and said, "Are you touching me?"
Afterwards, when he left the podium and then he did the like the side gangbang.
He was
uncomfortable.
Yeah, he was very uncomfortable. And afterwards, it wasn't me. I never touched him. Tie it all together. He claims it was Frank Totic, a former member of the PFW staff.
Frank was there. Did you say hello?
Yeah, he was blogging for NFL.com.
Yeah.
NFL.com.
B-Low claims it was Frank Totic who touched Pioli, causing him to stop his interview.
Yeah. Yet another Fred alum.
That's right.
That's gone on to bigger and better things.
Mike Reese was there.
Yeah.
The proud papa, Fred Kirsch.
Yeah.
Except for his current staff, of course.
Mike Reese was
You guys are the kids that, you know, stayed at home, you know, when you were 40.
A little too long.
Yeah. I'm still doing your laundry. Who was that?
I don't know. Never mind.
Played, Doc.
The world
here, but well played.
Andy, Eric, and Paul. The world needs ditch diggers, too.
Mike from Ohio. Did Eric or Andy get a chance to talk with or hear an interview with Jerry Hughes from TCU?
Yes.
Yes.
He ran a good 40 time on NFL Network.
I'm a big fan of him, too.
He looked more natural in making his pass drops than most of the other defensive ends looking to convert to outside linebacker. He also caught two of the three simulated interceptions, and he had good sack numbers. However, he's only 6'2". On that note, has anyone ever asked Belichick why the high standards of 6'4", 270, and speed of 4'6"?
Well,
after all, we're trying to replace Tully Bannacane, Pierre Woods, and Vidalis Thomas, not Lawrence Taylor and Derek Thomas.
I think it was the mold, not as a player, but as a pure physical.
Right. But I think it was telling during Nick Caserio's interview, he was asked, I think you were the one who asked him about that.
Of course I was.
Because you're writing a story about
Most
it.
Most of the good answers
point.
Come from Andy questions.
And he kind of said what everybody else at the Combine was saying about that, was that, yeah, it's nice to have those standards, but really how many guys out there are actually that size and can do those kind of things? Very few. So you kind of have to take what you can get and sort of work within those parameters. And the fact that Caserio said that was, I think, kind of interesting to me because it says to me maybe he's reconsidering his notion of
everybody is. Everybody's pulling off the ideal. They all pretty much admitted to it.
Unless there's a guy out there who can do it, and there might be one or two.
No, it's like quarterback. If you can get the 6'4 guy who's 225 and strong arm and everything, you take it.
And
but
the guy that
give and take in areas.
The guy that fits that mold in this draft, well, there are a few of them, but I think there's one guy in particular that Andy and I both kind of like who would fit that mold, we think, is George Selvey from South Florida.
I'm intrigued by him.
He is, the potential to be. He's under.
He's getting overshadowed by a Juan Pierre Paul. I know that's not his real name. I just like to call him that.
Who's really a project, the Pierre Paul guy. And I think Selvey has more of a track record and has more of a potential to be that kind of player.
Trouble is, he was really an end. I don't know. He's an ant.
Right. They'd make him an outside linebacker.
We talked about Selby
last
week on Thursday, Freddie, remember?
Yep. Wait, Fred talked about Selby?
I don't remember. someone asked about Pierre Paul, and I had said that Andy and Eric
sensation?
Have been very high on Selby, his teammate.
Because I think it's such a short window for Pierre Paul. He's a JUCO transfer. He doesn't start at the beginning of the year.
Right.
And even his early success is because all the other teams were scared to death of George Selby.
Yeah.
Who, Selby, didn't know this, Paul, learned this, former center, converted center to defensive end, which is a rarity.
That's a common transfer.
I mean, Dan Copen. We'll just put him out on end and tell him to go get the quarterback.
Yeah. I'm surprised we haven't gotten an SPFW about that.
But he had 14 sacks as a sophomore.
Give it time.
And then it's like four or five as a junior, senior. But Pierre Paul comes in for a half a season, and everybody like is madly in love with him.
What were your impressions of Hughes?
I liked him. I don't really recall anything standing out.
I liked him a lot. I remember reading a story.
Nothing rubbed me the wrong way.
About TCU that was sort of centered on him in Sports Illustrated midway through the season. You don't see those kinds of teams a lot, so you're not familiar with the personnel, but he kind of stuck out to me, and I saw the position that he played, the hybrid kind of spot, and I kind of made a mental note about him, figuring that he'd be a guy that might be on the radar.
The other guy we kind of liked at that position.
Why is Mays wearing women's underwear on his head?
I don't know.
I don't understand that.
I didn't care for him. He rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Berry.
Eric Berry was...
Eric Berry said that he was, a real deal. On track to be Ed Reed.
I heard him on Sirius, and he impressed me.
And Andy had the line of all the coverage by saying, somehow he just said that, and I wasn't offended or something.
I wasn't. Like, he said it without being, like, disgustingly cocky.
I didn't think he was overly cocky, you know, after he said it.
I was impressed by it. 447 for Eric.
Eric Berry,
443 for Taylor Mays.
Now. Oh, my guy, Quaz, the small school cornerback, ran a 447.
IUP?
Yeah, Indiana University of Pennsylvania.
I know the school.
Wow.
Why, Andy?
Kwasi Owusu-Ansah.
Why did I know the school, Andy?
You're a loser. Oh, I had some guys to ask you
about. Because they played Northeastern once.
They played Northeastern?
No.
I had a guy to ask.
They got rid of their football program.
Played him in baseball.
Oh.
Shoot. James Madison, I believe, had a pass rusher.
What did I tell you?
Oh, that's right.
How many games did I go to last year? How many games did I go to last year?
What's he good for?
I used to be very good for that, but I don't get to go to games anymore.
0.0.
Taylor Mays' hips didn't look bad there.
Yeah, they make him go down the hash to see how far
he is.
He's intriguing.
Well put together, as they say.
Would you be stunned
Arthur
if Phil
Motes?
Drafted him? Could be.
Arthur Motes, James Madison, 6 feet.
Do you have dreads?
246. No, he's just one of the worth watching ones.
I like his traps.
Where would you draft him? Late first round? I wouldn't be stunned.
Second round pick. I don't know if he'll make it.
Definitely
but,
not stunned. That's good value to me. I mean, he's a guy that's
I also
been,
think, at worst... He's a freakishly
William
athletic Tank Williams that Bill can tinker with and do whatever
what
the hell he
about
wants
with him
to be.
Already, right?
Oh yeah, I mean some people catch the damn football. Some people, you know, think he's a true safety, but there's a lot of talk of full time linebacker part. What's his name? The kid out of Georgia, Thomas
Davis.
Davis, you know, he's kind of in that mold. Big hitter, you know, could end up a 4-3 outside linebacker type or
the llama
rover, whatever they call him.
So I got that going for you.
What are you guys breaking off into this weird one-on-one gay conversation?
Hey, you
want to
break it off, you do it on your own.
Okay, let's move on.
Mikey Vandalism from Connecticut. Sorry I didn't have time to get a premium MP3 to you, but I just wanted your input on the prospect I told Andy and Eric to watch at the Combine, running back out of Cal, Javid Best, who I personally am very high on. He had an excellent combine, and I was wondering if Andy and Eric got a chance to speak with him.
Yep.
Also, how do you think he would fit into the Patriots offense? Imagine Brady with a Chris Johnson-like player with his quickness and pass catching. He certainly would be a playmaking weapon that I have previously said we need, and with 3 second rounders, I think he would be a premium pick as his draft stock is rising by the day.
But his health is an issue, not just the concussion. He's had a number of other injuries. I'm not sure he can be Chris Johnson and make it through a full season and give you a. I'm sure he cannot be Chris Johnson.
Oh, yeah, very good.
I'd be
very
stunned
talented.
If he has a 2,000-yard type season with all those carries. I think he has to be more of a 10 or 12 carry, 3 or 4 catch kind of guy, whatever. But I think there's value in that. I think we're seeing that those guys can have impacts on games.
I think they played at Minnesota in a game that we were on the plane 1 week, and I watched. He is terrific.
Tremendous.
He's a great talent.
Very, and I was impressed. I think he's going to work hard, but, you know, he joked, it's not an issue. I just need to get the new helmets. He said he claims he used the oldest helmet you could get, and he said because it looked better or something, and he's going to upgrade the helmet. I'm not sure.
Well, the play that he got hurt on, I don't think it's going to matter what kind of helmet he has on.
Right, but that's my point. You've already broken the seal there on the concussions. Mm-hmm. It's an issue.
Right.
Speaking of that, at the coach's clinic, I was talking to one vendor. They have a new helmet. Well, it's been on sale for like 3 years now, Zenith. Okay. The Zenith helmets with an X. And they've got this new thing that's like these discs inside the helmet.
That measure the...
Well, no, but it's supposed to absorb the shock a lot better. And what they're doing is they're trying to sell it, you know, to the teams where you buy this thing and it's got a barcode in it. And the actual the helmet has a barcode, but then the inner lining has a barcode. So when teams send these helmets out to be reconditioned, which they have to do every year, the kid gets his helmet back and it's fitted to his head. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, you tighten it by pulling on the straps rather than, you know, buckling it. It's or snapping it. It's pretty cool. Now they cost about $500 each, you know. But the kid has the same helmet for 4 years, and it's got these like discs with air in them.
Been proven to be a better helmet?
Well, Dallas Clark supposedly has been wearing it the last year or so, and he hasn't had a concussion since he's been wearing this helmet. And he had three before that.
He also catches every other pass thrown to him. Well,
I don't know if that has to do with the helmet
I'm
or
just
not.
Kidding. I'm not sure that's the greatest scientific study.
But
it's kind of like my theory, Paul. I've never had a cankasaur.
But it's pretty interesting. The helmet itself looked pretty cool, you know. They had it on display without the shell.
So Zenith is a different company. It's not Rydell or Shoot.
No,
it's their own company.
Competitor. Yeah.
Now, what about, did you have Rydell or Shoot there?
Yeah, Rydell and Shoot were there.
Do they have new lines?
I didn't really look that close at their stuff. Yeah. You know.
The ones that are supposedly safer just look horrible, though. Like the one that Peyton Manning wears.
Yeah.
With
the
wraparound
chin and everything.
Yeah. I don't know how much safer they really are.
Apparently that's
but
what got Chabon Best in trouble.
Well, maybe.
He went with the cool looking
one. But like Paul said, I don't think no matter what helmet he was wearing, he was going to get that concussion.
Well, his particular play, he went very high in the air and landed directly
on
his
head. I know.
I don't think there's a whole lot you're going to be able to do about that in terms of protection.
What else did you have at the anything interesting? Vendors and...
This one guy, U.S. Sports Video, he had a cool little gadget for teams that, you know, can't afford scissor lifts. You know, because those things are expensive. He had this thing. It's on a pole, and it extends up to 20 feet, and it's got a little camera on the top that goes down to a battery pack with a monitor right there, you know, at eye level. So you can stand there and hold this thing and take practice, and it's very light. Like, you can hold it, like, with one finger.
How wobbly is it?
Well, it's on a stick, so you just hold
it. It's mounted?
It.
No, but I feel like it would move all around, and it would be, like, nauseating to
watch. If you're not...
Did you record your practices in high school?
Yeah.
Really?
But the scissor lift looked like something from a junkyard. I mean, it was an old rusty thing that looked like it barely worked.
A lot of people had... A lot of the cities and towns around us had just, like, makeship, like,
staging.
Scaffold.
Yeah, I've seen that in a lot of fields.
And they just had some sap up there. But I just think it's funny, like, high school, you know, film sessions of practice and just play.
But this thing is completely mobile.
It's part of my
you
problem
can take
with
it
football.
Anywhere. It was pretty cool. It has an extra battery pack, so it gives you, like, 4 hours of life. I thought it was, you know, one guy's solution to a problem that some schools might have.
Oh, that is a definite... Yeah. Solution to that problem.
Yeah,
and you could use it for scouting.
Yeah,
because I think you go to places you don't always have the right setup if you wanted to tape something.
True. James Cuff is the person who was nice enough to buy us
Jimmy.
Very, very nice. James, obviously from the Patriots fan club in London.
Member of the Crips.
Yep. He says, just check it in to make sure you got your lunch. I wanted to buy you guys lunch to thank you for the great off-season coverage. As ever, you guys helped me make a very long and boring off-season go quickly, so I wanted to thank you in some small way. I also wanted to thank Eric and Paul specifically for their recent help and advice with a job application. That's nice.
You're very welcome.
Good luck with that. Can I be cheeky?
You're asking Paul how to get a new job?
Hey, irony.
Can I be cheeky and request a plug of PFWinProgress.com? It's been a while. Absolutely.
PFWinProgress.com.
Yeah.
Got
if you listen to this show, that's the destination for the show on the web.
Mm-hmm. Where they all unite to rip Eric.
So you need to...
and other stuff.
You need to check out...
There was a little bit of news, by the way.
And thank you, James, for lunch.
Yes,
thank you
very much, barbecue James. Chicken pizza was tremendous. I went outside the box, and I actually enjoyed it.
There was a little bit of news on the radio front. Did you guys hear about this?
What's that now? Oh, yeah, the texting?
Yeah. Unbelievably dumb.
Now, fill me in. The texts were being sent to a person or to, like, the on-air text line?
On-air text line.
What a clown.
Back up a sec, Paul.
One of the producers from The Big Show in WEEI, Andy Masawa, I think his last name is, was sending constant texts to shows at the Hub, at 98.5, the Sports Hub. And I guess at one point there was like 22 texts sent in like a span of a half an hour. And they were all like vulgar and vile. Like they couldn't even be read on the air. And it got to the point where they kind of red flagged the number. And they just decided, we got to put a stop to this. We're going to find it. And they called the number. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that it was the guy's cell phone. It was his voicemail that it went to. So I don't think they had any idea that it was going to be like that. D.A. was talking about it one night last week.
They're hiring geniuses over there at EEI.
Yeah, and the irony is how much that they have, the EEI personnel has sort of taken on this, we're not really concerned about what they do approach kind of deal. And in reality, they are well ahead, and they don't have really much to worry about, but it's kind of a really silly thing to do. The guy got suspended for a week.
Every time you guys make fun
Glenn,
of me for
and
being
Glenn made fun of him, by
stupid
the way,
and immature and stuff, there's a lot more stupid and immature people in this world than me.
That's why we don't take texts here. We don't want these radio stations texting.
Freddie, you're a tech geek. What do you think about the technology where they overlay all the 40-yard times and show?
I like it.
I do, too. It's pretty cool.
It's really cool.
I didn't see what they do.
They have this technology where they can lay all the 40s on top of each other for, like, a certain position. So they all start at the same time, and then you can see them spread out.
Well,
and
I love that in the Olympics.
Takes away.
Yeah, that's the same thing that we do.
I loved that in the Olympics, when you could see where the leaders were and stuff.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a quick break. It's 1:05, and we'll be right back.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
You gone?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member PIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriots season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
I don't think the league made us do that. Because the league was on us for a long time about the condition of our field. And we never did anything about it until we lost to a bum team. Sorry about that.
Whoa.
Sorry about that.
What are you doing?
It's been a while.
Wow.
It's been a while.
No, but
I apologize a thousand times.
The league did force
the
Patriots.
But I hate the Jets. See what happens?
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Rich writes in. He wants to know what the best and worst moments of the coaches' clinic was. I'd say
the worst.
Well, I mean,
a phone call on Tuesday or what?
Yeah.
I mean, Nick Saban didn't show up.
Big timer.
But one of the best moments was the guy that they sent to replace him, is Sal Cenceri, who's the assistant head coach and linebackers coach for Alabama. He does his talk. So afterwards, Hannah walks up to him, John Hannah, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, introduces himself and says, "So where's Saban?" And everyone's listening. And guys are like, "Well, you know, he had something to do." "What?"
"Oh, boy."
"Well, I'm not, you know, it was something important." "What was it?" And he, you know, the guy wouldn't answer.
Wouldn't give up.
So finally goes, "You tell Saban that when he makes a commitment 3 months in advance, he sticks to it. Because this is the New England Patriots. This isn't some mom-and-pop operation. If he says he's going to show up, he shows up."
I love that. I can't hear this story enough.
But the trouble is, Saban doesn't care.
No. And the guy probably
talk about God complex. That guy has a God complex.
You think the guy went back and told Saban any of this?
No, of course not. But
Maybe it's an Alabama alum who's saying it.
Yeah, it was good theater, though.
How much money does Hannah have?
Yeah, it depends on how much money Hannah's giving to the program.
Because Saban doesn't care about the yoke, the pole. He cares about the coin.
But he doesn't even care. The only thing that would make this even better is there is a possibility that John Hannah is going to be in Saban's company.
Uh-huh.
And I know John Hannah, he will say everything he said to that guy, Cenceri, to Saban.
Right.
And Saban's about my size. And you know how big John Hannah is.
But, you know, Saban's kind of has the cachet that Belichick has. I mean, now he's won two national programs with two separate programs. That's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. He's a great coach.
He's a great college coach.
You know, it's pretty impressive.
Good for Hannah.
Doesn't make him not a sleazeball.
So that was one of the highlights. That was a great moment.
Rick Pitino, John Calipari, they're all great college coaches. They're sleazy.
Yeah. Worst moment, I'd say
when the phone call came.
I was going to say, when Saban backed out, right?
How was Chip Kelly?
He didn't show up.
What?
I told you that. He had a few people that got arrested in Oregon. He couldn't come.
He had a discipline problem.
I got to tell you, LeGarrette Blount was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I liked how he handled himself, the situation, everything, selling himself, the opportunity he now has. I'd take a flyer on him. I would.
Fred tried to get Boy Radietzo at the last minute. You hear about that?
I told him to.
We looked out for him.
Well, he called
me back, personally.
And he called him back. He called Fred
why
back.
Why don't you
just
get him next year?
But he said the reason why he couldn't go is he had a meeting in Indy.
Yeah. We looked out.
I wouldn't
see him
too much of that. I don't think that was anything.
No. Okay.
There's a lot going on in Indy this week.
That's what I thought.
Football
maybe
related.
Else. Yeah.
You know, equipment related. He could be redoing the entire UConn weight room, and he's going. There's a lot there.
Yeah, there is.
By the way, they've now built more convention center at the RCA Dome space. There's a huge new extension to the I think they're going to connect the old convention center, like the Westin Hotel area, is now going to connect to the new convention center. To the new
do they
field.
Have a vendor booths at this thing now?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not for us.
Not in our
but
area.
For like the football
but
world.
For the football
you
people.
You can't go look at them?
No.
No.
Oh, they
in the old place they did, I used to wander around because they'd have those a lot of technologically based strength and conditioning. They'd have the bod pod where you can get the fat, body fat, hyperbaric chamber types, all that crazy stuff.
Yeah, Reebok. The way they have it set up now, we're not allowed to go back
there. I need one of those for my Achilles.
Yeah.
One of those hyperbaric chambers.
so I could walk
so
again.
So you can make weight for next week?
No.
You're not going to make weight.
No, I'm not going to make weight, but I would like to be able to walk. Speaking of weight programs and getting big for the prom, Brian Morey on day 17 of his, what is it called?
X90 or PX90. Yeah. Or
PX90.
He's doing
program.
That thing?
He was looking for you today. He wanted to talk to you because he says his muscles are just constantly tired.
Tell him I'll catch up with him.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because he's feeling tough and he wanted to, you know, challenge Andy.
They want to compare six packs.
Oh, God.
Well, I don't have a six pack, so it'll be no comparison. Oh, yeah, you missed Eric bitching about the pool in Indy. God forbid, he couldn't do his morning laps in the pool.
It was a postage stamp.
It was.
You could do three laps.
So where in North Providence are you doing morning laps?
We have a town pool there. Right?
And so in the middle of the winter, you're out there swimming?
A town
Not
pool?
As much as I'd like to.
Aren't you a city?
It's no, a town. We're a town. Of North it's the town of North Providence.
Why?
Because it's hilly. A lot of hills.
Why is it a town as opposed to a city?
Yeah. I mean, what's the population?
It's like 35,000.
Well, doesn't that have something to do with the government?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
you don't
all
have a mayor, you're not a town.
It's how you're incorporated.
You have a town council.
We have a town council and a mayor.
You have a mayor in a town?
Yes. Most towns do have mayors.
No,
that's not true.
In Rhode Island, they do, yes.
Well, things are effed up in Rhode Island.
Yeah. The more people that can take money under the table, the better in Rhode Island, right?
No, some towns have like a manager, town manager, they call it.
That's how most towns do it. But manager and a board of something.
Yeah,
what a selectman.
We have a town council and a mayor.
Okay.
But, you know, we were established as a town. We have a town charter.
Are you going to run for mayor?
I thought you were going to run.
It's unbelievable.
I know. He can never give you a straight answer. Ever.
But
we have
if I had said to you, Fred, are you going to run for mayor, you would immediately say, what are you talking about? Same thing with Andy. Eric, I have to weigh that. Maybe.
What do you want?
Someday that could be. Who are you, Goldie Wilson?
Right.
The season gets in the way of
campaign. I'm going to talk to you about this tomorrow, actually, during my review thing. I have something I need to talk to you about.
Oh, yeah, you have their scheduled reviews tomorrow?
When's mine?
Yeah.
I don't know. You didn't have a schedule.
I don't know how to do it.
I'll show you how to do it.
See, I knew I wasn't the only one who didn't know how to do it.
I read that and was thinking, I'll ask Paul if someone shows him how.
It's pretty simple.
I'll show you
how
to do
I got
it.
My appointment.
I was just going to walk by when you were in there and say, can we do it now?
Everybody must have scheduled their appointments. And Fred sent me an email, Paul, Monday at 4.
Yeah, I don't know how to use that.
It's actually a good tool.
It is.
I find
a
it
a good waiter.
TOOL.
We're talking about Outlook.
He was a very good waiter, actually.
He was.
Outlook calendar is what we're talking about.
I just don't know how to get into your calendar. I know how to get into mine.
What you do is you.
I don't have a calendar.
I don't have anything in it.
You go into invite attendees. You put my name in there, and then you click on my name, and it'll show me what.
I'll show you. It's easier than he's making it sound.
I'd be scared.
No, it's fine.
That I was scheduling a meeting with Belichick in the conference room.
No.
Well, one of the people. I won't mention her name. But
Maura?
She scheduled me 2 weeks ago, and then I said, try again, and then she scheduled me for Sunday.
Oh, Carol.
And then the third time she got it.
Carol.
I'm not mentioning names.
Is it the same person I went to the copier, and there were important renewal documents still in the copier?
I'm not mentioning names.
Carol.
Sam in Chicago
rhymes
says,
with Rarrow Rarty.
Sam in Chicago says, quick question. After what you guys have been hearing recently, does Eric and Andy's scouting report change your wants for new recruits? Like there was someone you saw that would bargain heavily for that's not a pass rusher or
Sergio Kindle.
Sam in Chicago, I don't know.
I think the answer is Sergio Kindle.
Sergio Kindle has sort of dropped. In Andy and Eric's eyes.
I was dubious to start because
Because we'd heard things about him going in. Right.
Remember we talked to John Ross.
There
was Lawrence
black
Taylor.
Flags there.
He didn't perform like Lawrence Taylor. His best year was when everybody was doubling Brian Arakpo. And then he comes back this year. What did I say?
No.
I said there's some black flags there, and Eric said, aren't they red flags? To me, red flag is an injury thing. Black flag is something didn't add up. Like, his production didn't equal what
does
he Gerhardt was supposed
to get a
be.
Black flag or a white flag?
Why does he have any flags?
I don't know.
Sounds like
race
he's
relative.
An exterminator.
No, he's not hurt, and he's productive. Why?
Gotta kill some ants.
I don't know your flag system. You make fun of my arrow system. I don't know your flag system.
It's not a system.
I think mine's pretty obvious. An up arrow's good, a down arrow's bad.
Yeah, but you have northeast and southwest and all different kinds
kinda
of angles.
Kind of up arrow is kind of good.
Eric is correct. It would be considered a red flag, but
porn?
To me, I consider red flags guys with injuries.
Okay. Straight
black
up is good.
Guys like something's missing with this guy, and I don't know what it is.
Okay, well, Sergio Kindle has
that.
Lots of black flags.
Yes.
I don't care about the
Unless that
interview
makes
as
me
much
seem
as you
racist.
Guys do.
He just didn't have any answers. Yeah, and I mean, we're talking football questions. We're talking the same questions teams are asking him. Why did your production fall off the map when Brian Arakpo left? Oh. Well, you see, my double team opportunities, other players. I don't know.
He sounded winded, too, through the whole thing.
He sounded dumb, sounded like he was lying, didn't have the answers to these questions. It wasn't there. I'm not interested. I don't like underachievers. Usually they're going to keep underachieving.
I think the Everson tag Griffin, of underachiever same thing. Is...
Everson Griffin has all the measurables.
That's why he's
even though he
flag.
Didn't get the 4.540 that he claimed he was going to get.
Nobody expected
Fred,
it except
my,
him.
My comparison would be all the guys they drafted in the Bobby Greer era.
Right.
The Patriots drafted an endless line of guys who weren't as good in college as they were supposed to have been.
Kevin Falk would be
Brandon Mitchell, you know. Just a steady stream. Chris Carter, the safety.
Yeah.
Well, Chris Canty was a great college player, but he just he thought he was better.
Chris
than
Chris Canty's a smart kid.
But Chris Carter, Brandon Mitchell, Rod Rutledge. There was like four or five guys that they all had the same kind of, you know, tremendous.
They fell off
triangle numbers.
Year. Yeah,
had a down year for whatever reason. Now, in fairness, we heard a lot of that stuff about Ty Warren. Was kind of down, you know, at Texas A&M, and he came back up. Yeah. He obviously is panned out as a pro. But Bobby Greer made a habit of picking guys whose college production didn't match their physical tools.
And a lot of that is overthinking it. You just can't overthink
it. But yes and no. There's also plenty of pros who are way better than they were in college, way more productive. There's hits on those, too.
No, I know. But
Clay Matthews barely played, and he was a Pro Bowler as a rookie.
The lazy thing scares me, though.
Right, no question. But there's plenty of guys that underachieve in college that overachieve in the pros that become great players.
Yeah, but did Clay Matthews underachieve in college, or did he just not get a chance to play because he was behind guys that were better than him? And then all of a sudden he got to play.
Well,
and
Everson Griffin lost his job to Clay Matthews 2 years ago. And then Clay Matthews becomes a first-round pick who's very productive in his first year.
Brandon Mitchell was considered lazy. And that's why he didn't get as much out of his ability. That, to me, that's a red flag. Now, Brandon Mitchell turned out to have a decent NFL career.
I thought it was a black flag.
Yeah, I thought it was a black flag.
Black flag.
You called it red that time.
You did.
I don't understand the difference between a black flag and a
sometimes
red flag.
Sometimes I get the confusion of the 45-degree angle
pens?
Of your arrows.
You have colored pens when you do it?
Red,
I don't
black.
Write anything down. It's just it's
red
a mental
flag.
Pen.
Like Gil, Black Bus, when he's trying to do his...
I'm red flagging your flag system. I have problems with it.
I'm giving it a yellow. Listen, by the next show, I'll amend my whole flag system.
That's flag system.
Tabs in the UK. Hello, guys of PFW. Haven't emailed since the Saints Monday night debacle, but haven't missed the podcast. Anyway, great coverage of the Combine. Andy and Eric, job well done.
Thank you.
Which player do you think helped raise his stock the most at the Combine? And do you see the Patriots keeping those four draft picks in the first two rounds?
Yes.
Hopefully they will, because this draft looks very deep and the Pats could do some real damage. Thanks for making the offseason interesting, and as always, great job. Looking forward to the draft preview shows. Roll on the draft.
I wouldn't mind seeing them trade up potentially if they have a guy there that they think is worth it.
It's got to be a big because they need quantity, too.
Yes, but as Andy and I said, the top end of this first round is potentially one of the better ones you'll get for a long time. So
well,
if there's a potential.
I don't look at it in general terms. I look at it in if a guy they fall in love with is at 17 and they're worried he's not going to be there at 22, then they move up.
That's what I said. That's what I'm saying.
But you're saying like in general terms, there's good talent at the top. I think there's great talent in this draft. I think there's going to be good talent in first, second round. If they highlight one guy, that's perfect.
Yes.
If it's Brandon Graham, if it's Sergio Kindle, if it's Everson Griffin, if it's Jerry Hughes, if it's Ricky Sapp, whoever it is, if they highlight him, if Bill says that's the guy I need, then I want him on this team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a rat's Budinski if you think he's valued two spots too high. I don't care about that crap. Get the player you want.
And I'm saying I think there's a better chance of that in this draft because there are more of them available up there.
Maybe.
Sean writes in, trade Moss. Instead of operating on the old model of trade for future draft picks that have a great shot of withering into nothing as evidence of recent history, and that would probably get traded further down in the draft, why not juice up the line while Brady is young? There is nothing that Dallas is going to give up that would be worth it. So I guess he's questioning trade Moss. On draft day, I think that if I hear them trading their picks away for lower draft picks, I'm going to launch something into my television.
Me too.
I really hope they draft at their actual positions this year and pay the people that deserve it. I can deal with not picking up high-priced free agents if they draft well at the actual draft spot. Okay.
Sure. Well, money's not really an issue. I mean,
They're picking 22.
Well, I think he's saying I can see them. I live with not getting free agents if they draft well.
Right. I would agree. I mean, I'd like to see them do both. But in general, I agree with I don't want to see them just.
Yeah, I don't want to see more trading down
all the time.
Yeah.
Make the damn picks.
Especially in this draft. I really think they need to get some.
Steven Westford says that Michael Holley just called Eric Berry the next Ronnie Lott.
Well, that's not a bad comparison.
Ed Reed's better.
So.
Is he that physical? Oh, Berry, too?
He's built like
he looks like
brick house.
He should be.
So he might be.
He hits. He can play. He said.
Dare I say he might be even better than Ed Reed.
Well, that's what he said.
He said
he was John Lynch, Rondé Barber, and linebacker in Monty Kiffin's system. The roles that those guys played, he played all of those. He said he was used differently in multiple schemes over the years. Obviously, they had the coaching change.
Throw Derek Brooks in there, huh?
He didn't throw Derek Brooks.
John Lynch, Rondé Barber, and Derek Brooks.
But very impressive. I forgot the number, 14 interceptions, and he has the return yards to go with it. I think he said he was seven shy
of the all-time record.
I did enjoy Monty Kiffin. Told him he'd be a fool if he came back.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing him play, because if he is a physical version of Ed Reed.
That's scary. Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about an all-time player.
He won't be.
I know.
I mean, Ed Reed.
Well, you know what's
going to
happen? You know what happens with these kinds of guys? Something always goes wrong. He'll tear an ACL halfway through his rookie year or something, and then you'll always say he could have been whatever,
right.
And you will never know.
Right. He's going to be good.
Jeremy in Worcester writes, and I heard a rumor that I hope is way off, but if it's true that Gostkowski will get the lowest tender, I have a theory. That would seem like too tempting of an offer for another team to pass up giving a poison pill offer to. I'm sure there are some guys the Patriots would love to do this with, but no, it looks shady. But if it looked like it was done out of revenge, like the Minnesota-Seattle affair, the Patriots wouldn't take the PR hit. Speaking of skis, Gronkowski, the tight end from Arizona, ran two little stick root drills at walkthrough speed with Billick and was completely out of breath.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed by him. Was not impressed by him.
He's got the Paul Perillo fatal flaw.
What did I do?
Back injury. It's a red flag, right?
That's a red flag. That's injury.
Yeah, he came across.
Can we forget about my flag system? I'll just keep it to myself.
He's a guy I made sure I wanted to at least listen to because so many mock drafts had him as a Patriots second round pick. And this guy.
Well done. Just keep talking. That's what you should do. Good job.
Okay.
Until you acknowledge the fact that I made fun of you, I'm going to keep talking.
He came across way too self-confident for somebody who's coming off a back injury, a really serious injury, and who's coming out early, who really has virtually no resume to speak of. He's got a year and a half, basically, of college experience, and he's talking like he was the best tight end in the draft, and he's going to be great, and this and that, and I don't know. I wasn't buying.
What about this lowest tender thing to Gostkowski that he's talking about?
I haven't heard anything like that.
So that would be right of first refusal?
Yeah. The lowest tender would be the you can match it, and then you would get the corresponding round, right?
No, I think there's one that's just right of first refusal, no compensation.
Well, isn't that the one that we were told that is not really used?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The lowest one.
The lowest one is the draft pick.
That most people talk about is original round of draft pick, which means fourth round.
Right.
I'd be surprised if they, you know, there's not that much of a difference between the tender offers to get up to even a second round pick. And I don't think anybody would even give you a good, you know, extension in a second round pick for a kicker.
Yeah.
So I think that's all you'd have to do to hold on to Gostkowski.
Probably.
Now, Mankins I would give the highest tender to because I don't think the money is that significant.
From what he had been making.
And I don't see anybody giving a guard like a 5-year $45 million deal plus a first and a third round pick. So I think you can keep Mankins for a while.
Kind of.
But in addition to the contract,
sure.
it's a first and a third rounder.
Right.
That's what
separates,
you know, I could see someone giving Mankins that offer, but not the compensation as well.
Lyndon from Colton, California. I just got online, but would think of what would you think of the Pats trying to pick up a big back like LaRon McClain or Thomas Jones and have him split time with someone like Darren Sproles? I believe Jones and McClain would give us a guy that can get the tough yards, and Sproles would be a third down guy as well as take over some of Wes Welker's role as a returner.
So we have five running backs, and we're going to add two.
Oh, I don't know if you guys have paid attention to any of your Ask PFWs.
Everybody wants Darren Sproles.
Everybody is all over Darren Sproles.
Why?
Which one of you guys is doing Ask PFW this week, by the way?
It's not my turn.
We'll hold off. We'll put a one-week hiatus on
yes.
it.
I also believe that Chester Taylor will be available. I feel like he could be another good option for the Pats. The year before Peterson arrived in Minnesota, he rushed for 1,200 yards. I realize that both Taylor and Jones are over 30, but I think they could get a couple of good years out of them like they did with Corey Dillon.
But you have
Fred Taylor. You already have that.
Who do you – I mean,
look for a young –
Certainly Taylor, you're eating dead money. You gave him a decent little contract.
Yeah.
So who are we getting rid of?
I agree with your premise of Chester Taylor and Thomas Jones. I do think as 30-somethings, they probably both have something in the tank because they haven't really been used extensively.
But
Thomas early in his career, Taylor later in his career, haven't gotten a lot of carries. But I agree. If you're going to go out and get another guy to add to this committee, to me, it's got to either be a young guy through free agency or you draft someone.
Right? Yeah.
And to be honest with you, wouldn't really be in favor of either one of those things.
I'd be in favor of C.J. Spiller.
Well,
he'd play for me any day.
That's not really realistic to me.
It could be. You never know.
Yeah, but you can get a good running back.
First round pick on him.
I would use the first round pick on him. Yes.
Really,
I think he's a game changer.
You can get.
I think all your worries about not having an extra option in the passing game get alleviated.
You can get a good running back anywhere in the draft.
I think he's a game-changing player, too.
I also think his return game, he can catch passes. I think he is a dynamic playmaker.
I agree. I don't want him in the first round.
Yeah, I like to make plays.
It'd be intriguing if at 22 I like to win he's
games.
Still there.
I'd be shocked if he's still there.
Happening less lately.
What would you say?
I said that's happening less lately.
Steven, in Warwick University, UK... quick reminder, all those who are still complaining about trading down, that the only reason we have 2 second-round picks from the Jags and Titans in this hugely deep draft is that we traded down last year from the 23rd pick to the 41st, still managed to get Darius Butler, who many had the Pats taking at 23 anyway, and acquired these extra picks for when we really needed them, like this year. I get the feeling that had we taken Butler at 23 last year, everyone would be saying, look, that's why you don't trade down, because Butler is going to be a great corner for years to come, without realizing the true cost of doing so.
But aren't they also saying that about Clay Matthews, who went to the Pro Bowl? Did he go to the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, and
he had 10 sacks.
I don't remember all the specific mock drafts. I don't remember a lot of people saying Darius Butler at 23. I remember seeing a lot of people say Darius Butler in the second round, because PFW was one of those people. We specifically had Darius Butler as a Patriot in the second round.
Yep.
I think Andy's point is a valid one. There were a lot of good players taken at that area of the draft that 20 to 32 in the first round that the Patriots didn't have an opportunity to select because they traded down. Some of those guys were very, very good players, very good value players. And we'll never know if it would have worked out for the Patriots. So, yeah, they have multiple second-round picks. They had multiple picks last year. They didn't use them all. So who's to say they're going to use them all again this year?
I think we all like Darius Butler, but certainly not a proven commodity.
I like him more than anybody. I've been on his bandwagon.
You were on him before he was good when balls were bouncing off his face.
I've been on his bandwagon since minicamp when you decided you couldn't play because you dropped a punt.
No. What did I tell you immediately? Almost immediately. Grossly overestimated as an athlete. I think underestimated as a cornerback, as a technique corner.
Couldn't play because he dropped a punt, Freddie.
Have you seen him return punts yet? Huh? So me and Bill like this. Cross him off the list.
Returning kickoffs, though, at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's much easier. We all know that's easier, Eric.
I just want him to play cornerback. I don't really care about the other stuff.
Actually, Bill said he could play wide receiver in the middle of the season. Then Eric asked him at the end of the year, and he said, you idiot. Who are you?
He is what he is.
Who are you, you moron in the front row every week?
Bad Kevin writes in, hey, Fred, Paul, Eric, and wait. I'm upset. No, and D-bag.
Well done.
Your mom likes my bag.
Fellas, is there any scenario that we trade up in this draft? Our trend is to trade down. If there is a possibility that we that what are the teams in the positions in which you think are possible? I know this is not going to have as good of an answer due to D-Bag getting gone, being gone, but give it – oh, see, you wrote this before you're back.
He's here.
D-Bag's here.
There's always a chance. I would be surprised, though, would you?
Well,
what's
that?
Up?
I would not be surprised.
I would not be surprised.
You would. Well, no,
I
mean,
you
not significantly.
Be. Oh.
I think, you know, the old 17, the thing we always say.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a chance they pick an elite guy and go get him.
Mm-hmm.
C.J. Spiller.
I think when people are talking about Trayton, maybe I'm...
I don't know if he'll be there at 7.
Maybe I'm reading into it. I think when people are talking about that, they're talking about a more drastic leap with all the
top
picks.
Top 10,
that,
you mean?
Yeah, with all the picks they
no,
have.
No, I don't think they'll be in the top 10.
I'd be surprised at
sliding
that.
Sliding up or down a spot or two, to me, is that's bookkeeping.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So, basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto-reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun, back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio, back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter...
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted,
what?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
You got
it? Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America NA member PIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on a New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football, 3 Super Bowl championships, endless memories.
It's good! It's good! Adam Terry!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehallatpatriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
This is Rich Eisen of NFL Network. Where do I go when I want my latest fresh, hot
Patriots information, I go to PFW in progress.
When'd you get that, Doc?
I've used it before. I've had it for a little while.
Oh, really? Timely, though. Well done.
We're just watching Rich Eisen on the Combine reporting for NFL Network running the 40, and they use that technology where they compare him to
the other athletes.
You know, the difference is just unbelievable how fast
Tim
they get
Tebow
off the block.
Blew by him.
Yeah,
I don't know who the running back was, but I mean, it was like a shot.
And some
ridiculous.
Of these guys, they'd wait till Eisen got to the 20-yard line, and then they'd start the other guy, and he'd still beat him.
It was like a train passing a guy trying to jog.
Yeah,
even the big fat defensive lineman beat Eisen. Right. You know, head to head, they had to give Eisen like a 5 or 10 yard cushion, and still couldn't do it.
Dan from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Says, I've been listening to you guys talking about Thomas Jones and Leon Washington, and I got to say, I wouldn't want either one of them on our team. And am I the only one who is skeptical of the Jets' run game? The past postseason, we were constantly exposed to all the talk of them having the number one defense and the number one run offense in the league. Granted, most of this talk was from Rex Ryan. This, by the numbers, is true, but seriously, the best run offense in the league? Here's my rationale. The Jets were the number one run offense last year, according to a number of yards gained from scrimmage on runs throughout the season. Problem is, they ran the ball 607 times in the regular season of 2009. This led the league. The next most attempts was 525 by the Panthers, followed by 509 by the Dolphins. So they had 82 more runs than the next most run-oriented team.
But they were successful. Other teams knew they were going to run, and they still ran.
That, to me, is the epitome of a team that can run. There's nothing else that you have to defend except for the run, and they still ran it.
Now, if you look at their passing stats, they threw the ball 393 times in the season. This is the least amount of passing attempts in the league, followed by the Bills with 441 and the Browns with 443. Now, as I understand it, the NFL, there are two ways to advance the ball, run and pass. If you never pass, you're going to run. It'll look relatively successful.
That's just the opposite. Right.
Put Maroney in that system, and he'll put up similarly impressive numbers. That is, until he sprains his pinky finger and he's out for the remainder of the season. In your opinion, do the Jets really have an incredible run game?
Yes.
Or is it just the lack of a passing game that makes them look good?
They had two good running backs and a very good offensive line and a quarterback who didn't want to throw the football because he threw pick parties.
Who couldn't throw the football.
Yeah.
They ran the ball and had
enough success to get to a championship game.
The fact that they were able to win games
down the stretch. Sean Green was phenomenal down the stretch. Sean Green, I undersold so much as a one-year wonder at Iowa because I thought he was a punk. I thought he just did it trying to get dressed. He's a good runner. He is a good young running back.
Listen,
and we didn't have much good film on him.
And they didn't even have their change of pace guy, Washington. He broke his leg. Right. When was that?
That was early in the season.
It was the Oakland game, about halfway through the season.
Less than halfway through the season. I understand what the point is, and there's an element of truth. They ran it more than everybody else, and that's why their total yards. Maybe they weren't the best running game in general, specifically in the league, but they were a very, very good running team. And the reason was they have a great offensive line. I mean, their offensive line is terrific, especially the inside. Got that left side. You know, Mangold, Faneca, and the Brick were very, very good. You can't just discredit them because they ran the ball so much. What they did against the Jets against the Bengals and against the Chargers, when there's nothing else they could do. They weren't going to throw the football. Now, finally, the Colts said, "You're not beating us this way. We're going to make you beat us another way." And they had to do it a little bit differently, and it didn't work. But even then, I think the injury to Sean Green in that game was significant for them early in the second half.
He had become their starter.
Yeah.
I mean,
he was phenomenal in the two playoff games, the two playoff wins. Now, can they do that every year? I don't think so. I think it's very difficult to win like that. Pittsburgh,
but they won't have to. That's the theory.
Right.
Sanchez is going to get better so that we can balance it out.
Pittsburgh tried to win like that all the time through the 90s and into the early part of this decade. We're just going to run the ball. We're going to play Steelers football. Jerome Bettis, off tackle. Jerome Bettis up the middle. I don't think you can win championships like that. I think it's too hard. Sooner or later, you fall behind. And when you fall behind, you can't do that anymore. I would be very surprised to see the Jets have as much success doing it the same exact way, but they were pretty successful running the football, I thought.
And you have to imagine Sanchez is going to be better. They're going to maybe want to throw the ball a little bit more, mix it up, get him a little bit more experience. So
that Giants guy they showed, the Peter Junta.
The coach?
Yeah, Northeastern guy. I thought that was the guy. That's why I looked him up in the media guide.
As if we care.
for
you got that, as if we care?
For a school with absolutely
really
no football program.
Not.
Nah.
They continue to have guys that kick around the league in various capacities.
Jets, did you guys see any video clips of Rex Ryan doing a stand-up routine at the Combine?
No.
Did he really change his shirt at a game and had his whole
You never saw that?
No.
It was at the hockey game.
Yeah.
And he what pulled it game? Off. I want to say Carolina Hurricanes, but I don't know why I'm saying that. It doesn't really make any sense
right.
for any
reason. I saw the quote that he had. I saw it on ESPN. I was like, ooh, that's a tough shot.
A good shot or whatever. But, I mean, he opened. He was funny from...
He was good.
Somebody, he starts to talk, and they say, Chuck Smith is available at table two. And he goes, anybody? And Chuck is at table two if you want to go grab him. Like, just phenomenal. You know, somebody asked about Asamoah. There you go again. You're trying to get me. Like, I get enough trouble on my own. He just was hilarious
there
from
were plenty
start
of
to
those.
Finish.
Yeah.
He was
funny.
He's just funny. I'm back. As I said, the one thing still bothers me is when he thought his team was eliminated from the playoffs and didn't know that. But
details.
Other than that,
I'd play it's for third him. Down?
You know, he openly did his whole thing. They can't sign free agents because they're in the Final Four, blah, blah, blah. He asked everybody to get a little bit better and will be better. And just,
you know, sometimes on like third and long, teams run draws, you know, and they don't work. And wouldn't it be funny if, like, it was third and 11 and you ran a draw for 4 yards? I thought it was second down.
He could. I think he's honest enough so that he would.
Yeah.
You know, third and 11, he does a fullback dive.
I was very impressed with him. I can see why people want to play for him. He's engaging. He's funny.
The question will be, is he able to sustain that?
Right.
I think he will.
You got to win.
Oh, yeah, you got
to
win.
I mean, any coach has to win. I'm talking about that attitude that he has. Will it get him in trouble? Will some of his players say, you know what, we can't have this bombastic guy as our head coach constantly – he took another shot at Miami in that thing.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
You know, when he talking about the division. Well, it's the Patriots, the Bills, and the Dolphins. Miami won't like it that I always put them last, but so be it.
Right.
Well, dad was kind of like that, though, too. You
right.
know? He had his way.
And by the way, his father was never successful as a head coach.
Right, right.
And a lot of people think that's why. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he constantly puts the target on his team's back. And at what point do you wonder if the players say, you know what?
But they
he
do
puts
it too.
An awful lot more on us.
Bart Scott does it, too.
No, last year they embraced it. They said that's what Rex wanted them to do, and they did it. They fed in, and
I think if you can play and you win, you'll do fine. If you can't, you won't, and you'll be out.
Yeah, I said it very early last year when we played them in that second game. I think this is the best thing to happen to the division in a long time. The best thing to happen to this rivalry because it became stale.
Sure.
Now there's a reason to hate again, and hate's good.
Yes.
Hate's good in a rivalry.
But I love even though you like to hate for no reason, there's a reason to hate.
But I'm abnormal.
I
mean, let's face it. Let's face it.
Embrace the hate, no hate, baby.
Lee Fat.
I'm a whack job. I hate a lot of guys for no reason. Some of which are in this room.
TG and Joyzy says...
What did Eric ever do? Oh, it's no reason.
What made you think that Eric was one of them?
I got to admit it. Usually I pay more attention to the draft, but given Belichick and the Pats' recent history, I'm not paying as close attention this year. It's like I don't want to get my hopes up. Even with that said, you got to figure the team won't sit pat, pun intended.
It's like, I'm not going to watch September. I don't want to get emotionally invested.
With just Brady and Hoyer, they always seem to draft a QB in the later rounds as a development project.
Sneed.
Is there anybody you see fitting the bill? In which round
Filling.
Do you
bill,
think
actually.
They would make the pick?
Oh, this guy.
As I stated in the subject line, it might be too early in the evaluation process to ask this question.
Yes, it is. We haven't seen any Sneed. Film yet.
He's the kind of guy they would take. Terrible senior year.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, Ole Miss was like,
I thought he was a junior.
Underclassman,
yeah.
Whatever. It's a terrible
he had a good
year.
Sophomore year. He came out early and everybody thinks it's a mistake.
Do you know they were like fourth in the country?
Who?
Ole Miss.
Well, they got
heading
tons
into
of
the
talent
season.
In the draft. I mean.
Oh, your boy.
McCluster.
Yeah. He's a good player. He's a very, very good player.
He's a wee little fella.
Yeah.
Those guys, everybody.
Washington. I mean, doesn't he remind you of that kind of
player? But all
those,
the more of them that succeed, and that was one of the topics at the Combine, DeSean Jackson, all these playmakers, whether it's a receiver or a running back, if you prove you can be 5'9 and 170 pounds, but electric.
Find a way to get the guy out in space.
I want one of those guys.
I know it's a cliche.
We don't have one.
It's a cliche.
We haven't had one ever.
No, since Kevin Falk, you know, kind of turned the back nine.
But I think Kevin Falk, since he hurt that ankle, has never been electric.
Well, and that's what you worry
boogie,
about.
Boogie,
if
boogie.
You're the Jets, you want to get back to that running question that we had a couple of emails ago. Leon Washington broke his leg. It was a pretty serious injury. You
he
wonder,
may no longer be electric.
You wonder if he's boogie, that boogie, same boogie. Kind of guy.
I actually wanted that the first time. That's why I said it again.
In typical Andy fashion, he's going to keep saying it until he gets it.
I'm like Bill. It was geniuses at the league. No one laughed. Geniuses at the league, you know.
What, you didn't like that? Geniuses at
the
league?
I said geniuses. Oh, yeah. What about the hollow? No, not overtime. That they may change it. What do you think of that
idea?
Hate
it.
What are they talking about?
Scruffled brow. He's like, what are you talking about?
I got to defend my boy Fred here. Has not been doing anything.
But the coaching
clinic.
But cleaning up Nick Saban's mess.
Right. Explain to me the proposal that they have.
It's a complicated proposal.
Not really. You get a first possession. If that team scores a touchdown, the game is over. If they score a field goal, the other team gets a chance.
And if the other team scores a touchdown, the game's over?
Yes.
I don't get it. I hate it.
I don't like it.
I hate it. So if they both get field goals, then the other team
continues?
Gets another field goal, game over?
It becomes sudden death upon that one.
Hate it.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't understand it. Isn't the supposed inequity the fact that
this could be funny.
You flip a coin to determine possession. Why then, if they score a touchdown, is the game over?
Sorry.
I thought the whole thing was about the inequity of a coin flip deciding something so important. Listen, if you want to change the rules, change them, but this isn't a good change, I don't think. I don't think it's a good alteration at all. What's the matter?
What was that dude that just did the
bench
press?
But it wasn't as funny. There was a security guard from the combine who I thought was going to go try to do 225, a little short, fat guy with a goatee. But then a big black guy came in and did it, and he barely did it once.
Do you like the overtime change there, Freddie?
Which overtime change?
What's that now?
All right, the question is it better than what they've got now?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
It ain't broke. Don't fix it.
You know.
Not with
I think that you
broken
can,
solution.
I think you can make a positive change, but it involves playing some sort of time limit. Regular football for a time limit. 10 minutes, whatever. I think there's the same inequity if you do it this way.
Yeah.
At some point, the team that gets the ball first still has an inherent advantage.
If you're going to change overtime, I think, like you said, set a certain amount of time, let it be normal football, and at the end of that, whoever has scored the most wins.
There's a tie. I just think whoever's winning after each has had one possession wins, and then after that, it's sudden death.
What? So give each team a chance.
That's basically what they're doing.
Yeah, but there's this whole thing.
But the touchdown, it's over or not.
Whoever's winning after one possession, if there is a team that's winning, the game's over.
No, but in their way, if the first team that gets the ball scores a touchdown, the game's over.
He's right. saying, and then oh, the other right. team gets
in
a touchdown.
In my way, each team gets a possession.
Yeah.
And then after
like
those
I still think there's an inequity about the first team that gets the ball. And I don't understand that.
Just play an extra time.
I'm with Andy. I think it's fine the way it is.
I think they just don't like games, you know, being decided. You know, you get the ball on the 30-yard line after the field goal. You go, you know, another 30 yards, and then you kick a field goal. You know, you've gained 30 yards, and then you're in field goal range or whatever.
Who's gaining 30 yards? What are you talking about?
I'm just saying they're trying to avoid teams winning by just merely kicking a field goal.
Yeah, I just don't think that you're avoiding that. I think what you're setting yourself up for is a team winning by kicking two field goals instead.
Well, but at least you're giving the other team a chance to get the ball if that first team that has a possession just kicks a field goal. You know, what you're saying, the main thing is they're deciding by a flip of the coin. I think maybe in their minds the big thing that they're trying to avoid is that one team, all they're doing is gaining 30 yards and getting a field goal position and kicking a field goal, winning the game. And that's it. You know, one pass interference call can win the game.
Well, now you're muddying the water because that's a bad rule.
No, but
now you're throwing in something else that they've talked about changing.
They're trying to avoid that. They're trying to avoid, like, one play gets you in field goal position and you've won.
But that can happen in the fourth quarter. It's the game of football. A guy slips and you get a big play.
I just don't get it. I don't get it.
The only thing that I find intriguing is there certainly would be some coaching involved. There would be decisions to be made.
Well, that second team, that makes it more exciting. Because let's just say, for argument, I mean, evidently, the team that wins the toss in overtime automatically gets a field goal because that's the way we're treating it. So let's just put that three on the board. Now that second team that gets the ball, how often do they go for it on fourth down inside a field goal?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
There definitely will be
some coaching decisions.
Mm-hmm. But
That'll definitely add excitement.
Isn't it 53%? Isn't that the number they always throw out there?
Something like
that. That you win the toss, 53%.
Well, that's pretty close.
It is.
Yeah.
It's really close to being 50-50.
Wasn't it like 53% on the first possession?
Oh, I thought the team that won the toss.
I thought
the
team that won the toss had a higher percentage.
53% on the first possession.
I don't know.
That's
I might
correct.
Be wrong on that.
No, Paul's right.
I'm guessing.
I don't see it broken.
I'm with you.
And until you knock me over with, oh, that's obvious. That's a way better way.
The mm-hmm. only
then
thing,
you shouldn't do it.
The only thing to me.
You need to knock me out with your suggestion.
The only thing to me that's a better way is playing a timed quarter.
But they won't do that because of TV and money.
But
and
I don't understand
that.
If you're going to do this, if you're going to acquiesce to this, if you're going to guarantee both teams have a possession, are you telling me that's not going to take 10 minutes?
I don't know.
So I don't understand why the inequity.
I'm with you, Paul.
I don't know.
That's going to be pretty close to 10 minutes of playing time, two possessions.
Mm-hmm. Potentially.
So just give them the 10 minutes extra.
Make it 10 minutes. Whatever the score is at the end of that 10 minutes, that's the winner.
It's fine with me.
It would be fine with me, too. But when I say fine with me, I tend to just stick with what's status quo.
Because you don't like change.
And in a playoff
I don't like
game,
change. I
you just
like
keep
change.
Going. Right? Playoff game, you just
I
keep going.
I think the league has not been broken for a long time with this way. Stick with it. Put the goalpost back.
If it's tied after 10 minutes in the regular season, you know, I don't know, whatever. You make it sudden death from that point on. I don't know what the solution is. But if you're going to guarantee two possessions, I say just play another quarter. And if you want to make it a shorter quarter, 10 minutes instead of 15, I'm fine with that. I don't like the gimmicks. I like to keep it as close to the regular game as you can.
Tom Cable was on board. He was the only coach who was asked about it because he was later in the process. And he
well, plus he's one of those real
it.
Sharp football minds. You really need to get his way in.
He admitted he comes from the college game, so he feels like something he'd like to see it go a little towards college, where matching possessions and things of that nature.
I don't hate the college.
He also
one as
joked
much as
that
most
if he has to worry
do.
About it, he'll be happy because it's only going to take place in the playoffs, and he'll be ecstatic to make a decision.
Oh, this is only for the playoffs too.
Well, it's just a proposal right now.
No, I know that.
But the proposal to start would be in the playoffs.
Yeah,
you would go to this scenario.
Doc, what does Ralph Wilson think of this whole overtime thing?
Is that what we really come to? We're just going to flat out tell him what we want him to play?
Well, because he's just sitting there not doing anything, as usual.
I lost interest in the topic.
I lost interest in you.
So, but I
play in the role of...
if sudden death is so bad and teams winning on a field goal is so bad, I don't understand why they just said, okay, each team gets a possession, and then it's sudden death after that. I don't know. That seems to be the only way you can do it.
No, Paul's suggestion. Play the allotted time.
Well,
play out the time.
And hey, if you had this whole thing with the possessions, right, and you had to match possessions, would you, if you won the toss, would you defer so you had the decision to make?
Maybe.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
So you know what you need?
Right.
Yeah. But then you set yourself up to not have the ball after it's tied. You know, like if both teams kick a field goal, then the other team has mm-hmm. the ball.
Right. That's true.
So I don't know.
That's true.
I like to control my destiny there at the end, though.
Certainly wouldn't feel great on defense with that 3-point lead in overtime.
Yeah,
no.
Especially considering now the NFL is fully admitting that there's no such thing as a defensive stop. I mean, it's impossible to force a punt in overtime, mm-hmm. evidently.
It's true.
Anthony writes in, would you trade up for Joe Hayden? And
no.
Would you consider? And would you consider he ran... Considering he ran a subpar 40 time, which I think is BS.
Why is it BS?
I don't know.
The time is BS? Or
that's
the
what he thinks.
What, do they run 45 yards this year?
I like
as opposed to 36?
You don't like Joe Hayden?
I don't love him.
I like him.
I mean, he's
but
a top 10 pick. I
like
wouldn't
him.
There are other corners,
oh,
I think.
Oh, is he that high?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
he's the number one.
I know he's the number one.
One
corner. I didn't know he was in the top 10.
Some people think he's like stud corner.
I like Joe Hayden.
I just, in this draft, no.
But you kind of get swayed by the guys that you see all the time, too. When you're on a big-time program like Florida and stuff, you see these guys.
Wasn't swayed by either of those receivers, by the way, at the Combine.
Which
talking
receivers?
About white receivers.
Cooper Riley.
Jordan
Cooper Riley and Jordan Shipley.
It's Riley Cooper. I'm just busting your chops.
Yeah, not swayed. Shipley came off as a total, as what Kevin and Bad Kevin called me, just... Major chip on his shoulder, a-hole. Now, maybe that's because he's a white receiver or some sort of chip on his shoulder there, but he came off as a total a-hole.
Yeah, Shipley did not. Yeah, I had the same feeling. Yeah, he was weird, too, because, like, you know when you go, most people at a podium, they'll stand at the podium and they'll, you know, just kind of like.
Josh does that all the time, McDaniels.
Right. They,
oh,
you,
yeah.
You know,
tapping the sides.
Shipley just got up to the podium
fight.
And just stood there.
Yeah, I didn't
like this. Hands at his side most of the whole time. It was
did
like,
you square off with him?
Because Andy would have kicked his ass.
You have that air about you when you walk around with the watermelons under your arms.
Where do you keep your watermelons? Your bra? he is. I didn't
know
this.
He's a fat joke. I never heard one of those.
All-time leader
in
Texas high school football catches, Jordan Shipley. And obviously was very productive in college.
Did he have 6 years in high school, too?
The production.
27,000 yards behind the leading guy in yardage.
Oh, wow. Why are you going to be like that?
Doc's lost interest in the whole show. I said, did he have 6 years in high school, too?
Yeah, but what'd you say after that?
Doc didn't give me the rim shot.
Didn't warrant one.
Robin Marlboro says, Paul.
There'll be no rematch.
Robin Marlboro, Paul.
Hey, what's up, Rob?
If hair means a lot to you, do the hair restoration and F everyone else. When it's done, nobody will care. You don't look at a 55 Chevy and say, I bet it has Bondo in it. You just say it looks damn good.
I don't know what that means. But thank you, Rob.
Eric, this is for Eric. Thanks for the sweaters and being the butt of the gay jokes. See what I mean? It really makes me laugh. Andy.
Too.
You're my favorite for that potty mouth. You seem to get the same thing. You seem to get the same thing I do, where you say stuff before you can stop yourself, and it's always hilarious.
Thank you.
And Fred, I have come to realize how important you are as an alternative to reality.
As a clear reader.
Most of your points or facts begin with "I think." Okay. Why I listen to this show is you're a bunch of Patriots guys that talk about stuff, not a bunch of guys that only talk about Patriots. And I read an article about the NFL discussing adjusting OT rules. What I read said they might give each team a possession unless there's a TD in the first play or something like that. Sounds crazy. I used to think eliminating field goals would be good, but now I subscribe to the don't change the game philosophy. So I think extending a full quarter is the way to go. Any new comments?
Nope. I agree.
Paul wants to do the same thing. You know,
I do.
He wants to just play a timed period, whatever that is. Make it as close to what the real thing is.
Yeah, I'm not so sure I'm sold on a shortened time period, so I would definitely
I would rather have a 15-minute quarter, but they complain about the TV window.
Yeah,
right.
So I'll be willing to acquiesce and say, give me five, you know, take 5 minutes
but
off.
So what if it's still tied after 10 minutes, Paul?
You got to go sudden death. Well, in the regular season, it will be a tie. But
in the playoffs, sudden death.
Sudden death.
See, I think, like you said, the network windows, they can't screw with that. Too much.
I just don't think it's that big of a problem.
It really isn't. How often does it happen?
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, 60 minutes in CSI has to come
out. But every single Sunday.
Except on the West Coast. Yeah.
Right. Every single Sunday. You know, Will is really into that. Will tells me all the time it's on at 6. or 5. You know, 8, 7 Central. It's hysterical. Stuff on Cartoon Network. Did you ever see that show, Dude, What Would Happen?
No.
The guy just, it's like a bunch of kids, like stoner kids, and they're like, on the next Dude, What Would Happen?
Why is Will watching this?
He doesn't.
We don't want a stoner?
We don't let him watch it, but the commercial's always on.
Uh-oh.
And he always goes, coming up at 8, 7 Central.
That's good. All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
We can't leave it on
Let's
that
Let's go another hour.
We should go another
overtime.
Hour.
Overtime. Let's go.
I'll tell you what.
Matter of fact,
we'll go two more hours on Thursday. See you then.
Wet blanket.